Welcome back. Episode 27 of the Grapes and Gorak Show. I'm Grapes.
Gorak.
The J-Ron Curse episode.
27s. Any good 27s in the Viking history?
The J-Ron Curse. Okay. I actually
was
thought
Brian
about
Russell 27? That white safety that
20,
had
like... Or was he 29?
I don't know. Oof. Well, now I gotta look it up.
But he had like, I don't know, 8 interceptions that one year.
Didn't he have them
cool.
all to start the season? Like he had 8 in a row?
I think
it was like,
so.
Oh, one every game, well, Brian Russell.
It might have been 7 in a row because I think he had 2 the first week against the Packers.
Right, right. So it was, but it was a streak. He had a nice streak.
Yep. Brian Russell. Yeah, what was it? Him and Corey Chavis for a little
him
bit?
And Chavis. 27.
27.
Brian Russell.
There we go.
Our defenses were so bad back then. You remember those days?
Basically
the Denny Green era. Like,
yeah.
He didn't even care about defense.
Well,
so
Denny
bad.
Green and Mike Tice.
Yeah.
Well, and Mike. Even the beginning years of Brad Childress, because I think it wasn't Childress, Chavis, and Russell.
I'm sure it was. He had to revamp it all. I don't know if he had Russell. That feels early 2000s to me.
Okay.
Who would have? I mean, our 2019 we had Tyrell Johnson and... I feel like the other one was decent. How do I not remember?
2009, Antoine Winfield, Cedric Griffin.
He's a corner. Talking safeties here.
Oh, yeah. Darren Sharper.
No, he was on the Saints. Who was the safety opposite Tyrell Johnson? Now I got to look that up. Why are we blanking on the 09 roster? I mean, Cedric Griffin, Winfield. Your linebackers were EJ Henderson until he broke his leg, and you got Jasper Brinkley.
Oh.
Chad Greenway, Ben Lieber. The D-line's Jared Allen, Ray Edwards, the Williams Wall. Why can I not remember who the safety was? I feel
Tyrell
like he's actually a good safety, too.
Who played free safety that year?
Because Tyrell Johnson sucked.
Yeah, he was trash.
He dropped a pick in the overtime of the championship game.
I didn't watch that while I was on NFL Network. I'm really glad
I
didn't
just
watch
followed
it
on Twitter, and someone had a screenshot of him dropping the ball.
Ooh.
I remember I rewatched it once. I used to post on this Viking forum, and I was like, I'll rewatch the game and like post my thoughts. And like, so many little things. It's just like, what the
I haven't rewatched that game.
I didn't.
But I've rewatched the 98 game plenty of times.
Really?
I haven't brought myself to watch the 09 game.
I didn't watch the overtime because it was just so.
The 98 game sucks because. Even as Gary Anderson's lining up for that field goal,
you're like, he's going
to
make it.
You feel like he's going to make it. And you're like, yep, the Vikings are going to the Super Bowl. You watch that game, and there's no way we lose that game.
What was weird about that game, too, is there's also multiple things you forget about. Like, the fact that we didn't try to score. I mean, people remember that. But, like, we didn't try to score at the end of the game. 40 seconds left or whatever. We just nailed the ball into overtime.
Oh, yeah. Like, 98.
In 98, no one would ever do that in this era.
There was 25 seconds
I don't
left.
Care. You
one
have Randy
and
Moss.
You had a timeout. And you had a timeout.
That's insane. All you have to do is... I know Gary Anderson doesn't have a big leg, but you have Randy Moss.
And Randall Cunningham's hucking
and
the ball
Chris
to him.
Carter. And like I just,
and
just,
Jake Reed.
It would just never happen in this era. Like Mahomes with like... What'd he have? 50 seconds? It was like he's going to score. They're at least getting a field goal here.
Yeah.
Like it's just crazy. And then like there's the bomb to Moss in overtime where it's like, shit, that was really close.
Real close.
I don't know, there's a bunch of it's the same thing as 09 when you watch 09, it's just like there's just so many little things where you're like
the Peterson fumble.
Yeah, well, multiple fumbles.
Was it 4? Should have been 5, but didn't they give one to Favre or was it 3 and they should have
They gave one to Favre because of it was a muffed handoff. Yeah. But they on the telecast and when you watch it, he doesn't open his arms enough. But just it's just. I actually think the 09 team was more likely to win the Super Bowl than 9. I actually think 98 you had a tough opponent, Denver Broncos.
Yeah,
and also the Atlanta Falcons were 14-2.
Yeah, they were not a pushover. It's not like they were
I don't
10
really
and
remember
6,
we were what
5.
I was 8 and you were like
6.
So like
7.
I don't
7
remember
going
if the Falcons were really good. I remember we were ridiculously good. But like 14-2, that's pretty fucking hard.
I believe the Jets were also 14-2 or 13-3.
And they lost in the other
they
side.
They lost to
yeah.
the Broncos in, I believe, a blowout. And like I slightly remember like seeing that on the TV, but at the same time it's like, I forget the like Vinny Testaverde and
Keyshawn Johnson.
And Curtis Martin.
Yeah, yeah. I just think that Denver would have put up a fight, whereas we would have beat the shit out of the Colts.
Oh, yeah. The Colts.
The
like,
Saints beat them up. Like, we destroyed the Saints in 09. We had way more yards. We their offense did like nothing in the second half. Even to score in overtime, they got a good kick return and then a pass interference. Like it wasn't like they did
a
good.
A really bad pass interference.
I get their defense. The only thing you could argue is that their defense was built on causing turnovers all season, and that's how we lost. But it's just like so many of them were just so fucking dumb that we fumbled the ball.
And in 98, like a bunch of players started getting hurt in the fourth quarter too. So that.
That happened too in the Saints. Like Cedric Griffin, I'm pretty sure broke his leg and wouldn't have been playing the next week. Brett Favre was getting a nine.
John Randall wasn't playing
at the end.
Nor was Ed McDaniel. I don't think either, middle linebacker.
Mm-hmm. The other safety was Hussein Abdullah.
Sounds about right.
Jamarcus Sanford.
Yeah.
So Medea Williams. I think he was the starter. So when I said he was good, I lied. Because Medea Williams sucked.
Yeah. He was a big signing, though. I was a fan of the signing when we got him, though. I was like, there we go, Bengals safety. There we go. Yeah. All right, Medea Williams. He's got a cool name. Is it Medea? Is it Medea?
That's not a cool name. Bad name, bad player.
Well, it was spelt pretty cool.
Garbage. So that was our problem. But we played cover Tampa, too, so they just sat back there and did
nothing. Les Frazier was the DC. Yeah.
What's funny is we were talking about bad defenses. Les Frazier's defenses suck too.
They were trash. That's why I didn't get why we hired.
Even when his head coach was like, yeah, put Josh Robinson on Alshon Jeffrey, like embarrassing.
Over and over and over again. The man was insane. He was the definition of insane.
Yeah, that guy. That's terrible. But no, that 09 team. I feel like that team was like really stacked on offense and like, how did
Sid Rice, Percy Harvin, AP, Brett Favre. Shanko, yeah. Hutchinson, McKinney, Sullivan.
You know what's funny? You didn't name Bernard Marion. And I get there's a reason why, because he was kind of a bust. That dude killed it in the title
didn't
game.
Didn't he have a big year that year?
I mean, I'm sure he was fine. It was like, Sidney Rice mostly that year.
But
did
he have like 900 yards?
That was before Rice emerged. Yeah. He was kind of a forgotten man. But in that title game, that dude had his best game as a Viking.
Didn't he have like 150 yards that game touchdowns?
Just a little over 100. I just know he had like 9 catches, some clutch catches, but he fumbled in the red zone.
Did he really?
But everyone did. Harvin fumbled on their side. Peterson fumbled.
I don't remember the Harvin and the or the Berrien fumble. I just remember the AP fumble.
Berrien made a sick hands catch where Favre, I think, just threw it out of it. It was like a run call, and he just did a quick slant. Great catch. And he's just trying to get a lecture, and the guy just whacks his arm.
I remember that now that you say it.
And it was in the red zone. I don't know. Well, okay, enough about horrible games.
Yeah, let's talk about some good games that happened this past
week. Let's talk about the Saints getting a little karma.
You know, that entire last, I don't know, hour of the game was so ironic it hurt. You got the pass interference, the bullshit no call, which where we had the Lieber call.
Yeah.
So there. You had the Breeze interception at the end of the game where the Favre pick.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know, it felt so good.
It was this playoffs has actually gotten kind of well. First the Bears hit the upright and lose, then the Eagles lose, now the Saints lose. Like they all the teams I didn't want to see win anything. But yeah, that Saints loss, man. Wow. That's like we have our like you can bitch about 09 and be like, okay, we got robbed. They got robbed. We got kind of there was missed calls. There was the overtime rules were fucking dog shit back then.
We had six fumbles.
We didn't win the game and then the ref took it away. Like the ref just helped them win it. That ref took the game away from them.
That was a game seal. Like they get that penalty, game's over.
The game's over. You just basically you could just kneel the ball 3 times, kick field. There's like 10 seconds left, 20 seconds left.
Yep.
In real time,
like I saw it happen, I was like, oh, that was really close, just because the angle of like the live camera feed.
And it's tough when it's one of those like, oh, maybe like it looks bad, but really like he got there at the exact right time, and the ball was thrown a little off, and like that replay though. Even the
so
corner,
bad.
The corner gets up and he kind of looking around like, oh my, did I just fuck up? And then he starts, oh yeah, puffing his chest. I'm like, damn right I stopped that play. And if you watch the play, him and the linebacker are like totally talking to each other like, where are you, who are you covering? And Roby just runs out there like, shit, I'm going to take this guy. just has no idea where the ball is.
And he even said he was just going, he was going for the player. Like, he had no idea where the ball was. And you watch the replay and everything. If he knew what the hell was going on, he turns and looks at the ball.
He could just pick it, yeah.
Pick six. Like, he takes that to the house and that's game. But, I mean,
you can still say, so the only difference is like that, if they make that call, that game's over. They win the Super Bowl. But.
No, they make it to the Super Bowl. You just said win. Yeah. They make it to the Super Bowl. Anyways, keep going.
Fuck the Saints. They did get the ball to start overtime. So it's like, get over and yourself. You got
through the pick. It was
fantastic. That was a sweet pick too. The dude's like falling on his back. And that's the guy they just showed on the sidelines, like getting his team hyped. Some, I don't even know who, it's like Josh Johnson. Like, who's that guy? Johnson the third or something?
Was that Johnson or was it the other guy?
Joyner?
I don't think it was Joyner.
Okay. I thought it was Johnson.
Johnson, well,
he's like laying on his back. The ball just kind of just comes right into his hands. Like, well, so good.
He like runs into the receiver and the ball's, you know, way over the receiver's head. So it's not pass interference. And he's like off balance running backwards and it just.
And of course, Dante Fowler makes the play. Like, they trade for that random and like, I don't know. He's been okay for them. But like, sweet spin move gets right in Breeze's face, just heaves it up. So, you know, if we had just lost to the Saints because of, you know, the refs and whatnot and. But the biggest problem is the bounty thing. So it's like, you guys did kind of cheat. So like...
Not kind of cheat. They cheated.
You did. You incentivized your players to hurt Art.
Yeah, and your coach was suspended for a year and your D coordinator was suspended.
It is... It's crazy looking back. Like, the push-out play where we missed the playoffs against the Cardinals.
Yep.
Next year, they changed the rule. At least I think next year.
Yeah, it was that year.
And then overtime rules... Saints get the ball, get a long kickoff. This is against us. Yep. Saints get the ball, get a long kickoff return, get a pass interference, a couple other plays, kick a field goal, win. They change the rules next year. It's like, it just fucking sucks.
I feel like there's one more, too. I can't remember what rule change, but I feel like there's one more that we're missing.
It just makes it worse. Well, and then the bounty thing. Like, in hindsight, it's like, your head coach was out for a season. Greg Williams was multiple seasons. Like, you know, they eventually let him back. You got... But what do we get out of that? Who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We get nothing.
Yeah.
Yet Saints fans are filing a civil lawsuit.
Filed a civil lawsuit?
I feel like we should have.
I feel emotional distress over 09 still, you know? Watching that on NFL Network, you know?
I can't even watch that game because I'm so emotionally distressed.
I think we should start it. These Saints fans are doing it. They're putting a billboard saying they were robbed.
Oh. See, Mike Thomas retweeted that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you see somebody who replied to that, and it said, it was the same billboard, but it said,
four catches, 36 yards. And then someone else replied, of course, it was the person that wrote that was a Falcon fan.
Okay.
So then the Saints fan came back and said, you know what? I think Mike Thomas probably has seen that sign, but he'll get over this loss because he's a man. He's a 25-year-old man. Some also say it as, 28-3, but it looks 28-3.
Yep.
But he's coming at a Falcon fan. And then you just look below and it's all these Saints fans just writing 28-3.
That's awesome.
It's like, you kind of screwed as a Falcon fan to ever talk shit.
Yep.
28-3. It's kind of like how we don't have a Super Bowl.
25 years old, 28-3.
He's 28-3, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think I did it right. It was very clever.
That's awesome. I wish I would have seen that reply because that is
fantastic.
You got to
scroll down. Every time a Falcon fan talks shit, you scroll down.
Yep,
28-3. I think the Eagle fans have moved on from us because that was kind of what we would get hit with anytime we said anything. 38-7.
Yep.
38-7. But I don't know. I think they're kind of done with it.
I hope so.
I haven't seen much of it anymore. That was kind of a 1 year. We're not a real rival of them.
No, I think it's because we missed the playoffs. They're like, oh, they're not a real threat.
Yeah, and then they, you know, they... Yeah, they're like moving on.
Yeah.
And they lost their game to who they, the Saints beat them.
Yep.
So now they can worry about that, man. They can talk all the shit they want. But, so how about that game? Saints,
it was,
I mean, it's quite a finish, but
it was pretty boring at first.
Yeah, very boring at first.
Like 13 to
both games three. Were kind of boring at first.
Yep, they were. They were. I, just remember looking at Nick. I go, God, this game's boring.
You know what's kind of annoying is we played both those teams really well. The Rams, we hung with the whole game. Then the Saints swung on those. Like, I feel like we could have beat those teams. But they were best in the NFC, those two. I don't feel like the Saints were better than the Rams.
You know, it's... I think so, too.
Yeah. I think the wrong team's in the Super Bowl.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, kind of a fact just based on that.
Yeah,
penalty.
It's usually like these sour fans, like Viking fans, bitching about, you know, what could have happened.
I think I'm.
But this is the most blatant.
Yeah.
Like, we got robbed. I think you did.
Well, yeah.
And
the thing that irritated me is Troy Aikman saying, like, they showed all the hits on Brett Favre.
Yeah.
And Troy Aikman going, oh, nowadays these would be penalties. It's like, no, even back then those were penalties. Yeah,
you don't high-low a quarterback. Or when he hands the ball off and the dude lights him up after a handoff, it's like, I don't think you can do that. Yeah, it's not like, it wasn't like he was doing a read option or something. Are you allowed to just light up the quarterback every time? Well, he's pretending he had the ball, so you just get to smoke him. Like, a lot of these would have been penalties. Yeah, no, they were penalties. They should have been penalties. Well, and he threw a pick on the high-low, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, what an upsetting game.
But, yeah. You know, I haven't ever rewatched this game. I don't remember that.
We're sitting here watching the Rams-Patriots from, God, what year is this?
2001?
01.
Yeah, 01, 02.
This is the year they beat us, right, with Jeff George in the playoffs?
Yes.
Jeff George, why didn't we bring him back? Because Culpepper's time? Is that why?
Culpepper.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's a good reason. Jeff George is cool.
He was cool.
Clearly.
He was a gunslinger.
Yeah.
This sidearm and thing. Shit. Yeah.
Ah, he stick his fist out. Like,
wasn't he like a top five pick too?
Yeah. Originally? For the Falcons, I think. Yeah. He'd be like 47 years old and be like, I could still play in the league if someone would sign me. It's like, oh yeah, buddy.
Jeff George.
So the other game, Patriots-Chiefs. I don't know what this is. I feel like the Patriots first half did exactly what they wanted. Like, ridiculous. Like, we're going to run every play. We're going to drain the clock so Mahomes isn't on the field. It's like the perfect game plan. It's why Belichick's just so fucking good. Like,
He doesn't go.
He's not like, this is my offense. We run three wide and we pass and this is what we're doing. He's like, okay,
there's
so.
There's an individual game plan every week.
What's the strength of the Chiefs? They're edge rushing. Well, I'm just not going to pass it then. I'll just run it. What's the other strength? Their offense. Well, they'll just sit on the sidelines while I run the ball.
And when I do pass it, it'll just be quick three-step drops, little slant route. Just get the ball out of Brady's hands. Don't even let Houston or D-Ford get to my quarterback.
And that's what they did to us, the quick passing. It's like, why don't any team that has a good pass rush, just quick pass all game, quick pass. And maybe it's because they have the route runners and Brady. I don't know, but it seems like, why can't someone else coach as good as him? Why does everyone?
Because everyone wants to be
their system.
Yeah, they don't. That's why, like, Belichick just gets a bunch of guys because they don't fit a certain system. They're just good, you know, average player. You know, they're good at
everything.
It literally seems like they're just solid average.
Like, they're not. He doesn't. Like,
they're just good across the board at everything.
I feel
they're
like
not
they're
really
smart.
Good at,
like, he gets smart, fundamentally sound, just like.
You get Kyle Van Noy from BYU, and he all of a sudden he seems really good.
Yeah, the only, like, actual really good player would be, like, Devin McCourty and Gilmore.
I would think so. Dante Hightower.
Yeah, he's pretty good. But otherwise the rest, like, their whole D-line's just a bunch of guys they found. It's like, we're sitting here with fucking first-round picks in every position.
And
I mean, we have a really good defense, but. Why can't we figure out how to go further in the playoffs? Even their offense, our offense has more playmakers than theirs. They got a Gronk who can't even get separation.
He's a shell of himself.
Yeah, and now Brady or Belichick, like a genius, like, all right, we'll make him like into a sweet blocker. He's just chipping every play, just slamming into that guy.
So, big body, just, you know, catch him off guard.
But then Mahomes brings him back. I mean, that dude's, they're going to be.
What did they get? Did I see 31 points in 38
seconds? Well,
that game
hit the over. It was 14-0 at halftime.
Wasn't it 17? Or was it 14?
Maybe it was 17. I have no idea. I don't know. Chiefs had 0.
Yeah.
What was the final score then?
37-31.
So the Patriots gave up 31 points in the second half and won.
Yes.
It's impressive.
Very impressive. That's,
or maybe that's not impressive. Whatever it is.
No, that's impressive because all of a sudden they were able. I mean, they didn't keep up with the Chiefs in the second half, but they were able to do just
enough. They had enough of a lead that.
Well, and not really because they had to score a touchdown.
They went to overtime. And then what do you think about that? Do you think each team should get the ball in overtime?
So what, we're going to bitch about the overtime rules again? I mean, I always thought when they changed it, they should have went to the college rules anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lean that way. But at the same time, you had people, we have people saying, well, just for the playoffs, we should go to the college rules. It's like, no.
Well, then just change all of them.
Exactly.
Then you wouldn't have a bunch of ties either. Start making people go for two every time, you know, after a couple.
Yep.
Well, first off, the fact that it was ever just a field goal is fucking insane.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe, like, looking back, like, you just get the ball first, get, like, 30 yards, and you just kick it. But now, with
But back in the day, kickers weren't as good.
Yeah, and offenses weren't as good. That's the thing. Now, offense is, like, you can... They've made offense... You can't touch the quarterbacks. You can barely touch...
You know what? On your... They should make it so you can't kick a field goal in overtime on your first, on the first possession. It can't be like...
Yeah, but what would that matter?
How about just no field goal?
You want to get rid of kickers.
Eliminate the kickers. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
I think they should just... They...
Go for two every time and you can't kick a field goal in overtime.
No punts. Ah, you like punters. No, you don't. You're a big punter guy.
Big field position guy.
Yeah.
Love
I
the
feel like they
position.
Should just let each team get the ball once. If it goes touchdown, touchdown, they each get it again. But I don't care if they got to go the length of the field. College is probably a little more realistic because, like,
it's 25 yards. Or
yeah, you're not
yards.
Driving the whole length. And you're still, it's still
And maybe in the NFL, like, you can go to, like, the 40 or the 50. Just, yeah, like.
To make them drive, I guess. But, like, These offenses are too good right now. Like, the winner of that game, I'm not saying it's guaranteed because Breeze didn't score. But if Mahomes wins that coin toss, are we thinking after 31 points in the second half, he's not going right down the field and scoring?
No, I think the Patriots even knew that, like,
yeah,
right, we're not good. We can't let Mahomes get the football because
he's Matthew destroyed Slater, us in the second, you know, half. Wins tosses. That's what he's here for. He's a star coin tosser and special teamer. I think it should probably be changed. Part of me doesn't really give a shit because, like,
you know, I want it to be changed because, one, I don't like ties. You change it to the college rules,
yeah, get
you
rid of the ties.
Eliminate ties. And, I don't know, I like football. It's more exciting, you know.
I would have liked to see Mahomes get the ball.
I, exactly.
Just like in 09.
Nick didn't mind the finish, but he was so disappointed Mahomes didn't at least get a shot.
Right.
You know?
How about Andy Reid just refusing to, like, call timeout to let his defense get some rest?
Oh,
what's he doing? That man. But even the announcers are like, now would be a good time to use a timeout here, you know? You got two of them, or
yeah,
three
Tony,
of them.
Yeah, Tony Romo said that. I was like, huh?
Makes a lot
and
of
I think
sense.
Nick, and
then
Nick
they just plunge into
like,
the
oh,
end
yeah.
zone. It's like, come on. What are you doing?
They're gas. Yeah, it's overtime. You have three timeouts. You don't need them for challenges because it's all by the booth in overtime.
What are you doing, Andy? A typical Andy.
Yeah, it's like you're going to save him for later. Oh, good thing you got three timeouts when the game was over.
He's going to bring him for next year. They'll be good. And we'll use him in the preseason or something. You know.
Okay, so he's going to get six.
He's been rolling over timeouts for years. You don't even get it. You know what? That game? How about the D Ford offsides? Whoops. That's like more Viking-esque. Like you say to your friend, like, D Ford offsides, man. We'd have won the
12,
Super Bowl.
12 men in the huddle.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Like, we would have won the Super Bowl that year. Like,
12 men
2018,
in the
that's the year.
12 men in the 19. Huddle. Yeah. 12 men in the huddle after a timeout.
You ever read the Sage Rosenfeld's article?
Yes.
Yeah, he says, like, it was a play that they call that a multiple formations, and, like, for some reason, someone thought it was the one with the fullback.
Yep. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's Tahi in the fucking thing. It's just bad. He said it was a little chaotic. People were trying to figure it. It's like, come on. How about that Saints crowd noise in the first half? My God.
Oh.
That's impressive. I'm going to give props to them. And I think that's partly because who's the dipshit that talks shit on the Rams? Someone said, like, oh, we're not worried about the crowd noise. And then Sean Payton was like, all right, guys, what we need you to do is not just get loud with the last 15 seconds on the clock. We need you to be loud at the start of the play clock. Because that's always the problem. Like, we go to games, and it's like, if someone runs no huddle, the crowd never gets loud while they're calling, because they're all like, so a play happens, and then you turn to your friend and go, like, you talk about the play that just happened. And then it's like, oh, new play's coming, like, and then you get loud. Well, they've already talked and called the new play in that time. Yep. And even when they do huddle up, a lot of times that happens. So it's like, all the communication stuff is basically gone at that point. You need to be loud early in the play call.
And that's the first 25 seconds is when like McVay is allowed to talk to Jared Goff.
Yeah, and then it cuts after that. Yeah.
Yep. So it's like, so that's when like you saw Goff like pressing on his helmet.
Their huddle is like all like leaning their heads in trying to hear, like it looked like a disaster. And then he's up at the line trying to change things, and that crowd was just whole time.
You could tell how loud it was at the end of the game when Jared Goff did his interview and he had no voice left.
Yeah.
It's like, dude was literally screaming. Like, you're at a concert or you're at a football game. Uh-huh. You know, like, he was screaming the entire time.
I thought it was pretty impressive.
True.
And they didn't even have, like, the armband with the play sheet. Like, if you watch the 09 game, Brett Favre never had that the whole season. And then they gave him the sheet. So in case he couldn't hear it, what they would do is just hold a sign up that said, like, 27, which means play 27. And then he could just go 27 and tell it to group. But, like, the Rams didn't do that. And it was like, geez, maybe you guys weren't prepared enough. Because in the first half, they looked like a mess
trying
to
call
the plays. Like, linemen are, like, walking up the line to talk to him. Like, running backs are coming up. So, I mean, the fact that he actually weathered through that is kind of impressive. But.
Yeah, that for on both ends, not just Goff, but also McVay to...
Yeah, to
gather himself at halftime and go, okay, this isn't working. What do I have to do?
Mm-hmm. And once you get rolling a little, then it sometimes usually takes a little bit of out of the crowd because they're kind of like, when you're like just throttling someone, the crowd is just overwhelming. They just keep, as soon as they knock them back a little bit, it's like you get some people that aren't, they're a little more not into
and
it.
I don't know, like, what was it, Aikman or Buck, they brought up how the Saints fans were, like, staying the whole time. And I remember at the Patriots games, it was a regular season, and they're up the entire time.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Patriots never
sat down.
I want that at the bank. Like, I enjoy standing up. And
what is that? Is that a East Coast thing?
I think it's just, like...
Good fan bases. Eagle game, they all stood. But that was a title game. But I actually don't think everyone would stand the whole game, even in the title game.
I don't either.
I haven't been to a playoff game since... Fuck.
The Eagles game, but...
Well, that was our stadium, though.
I know, but...
I went to the one in 98.
Did you really?
Yeah, who did we play, the first Saints?
I believe so.
And Moss had the little screen pass. I feel like I went to one other one, too, but... I wonder at, like, the Saints game in last year, if they didn't stand up the whole game. No way did Minnesota fans stand up the whole game.
No way. We should ask Cam and Ty.
That's what I was going to think. I was thinking who was at it, yeah. But, yeah, Eagles fans whole game stood up. But at the Patriots, it was a regular season game, and they never sat down.
I like that. And, like I said, I like standing up. I want to stand up, but then I look around, and it's like, oh. Nope, I should probably sit down so other people.
Well, yeah, we were front row, so like we were out of our seats, crouched down.
Even I was at the Saints game with my dad.
Regular season one this year?
Yeah, and like we're row 27, and at the beginning of the game, I'm standing up the whole time. But after a while, I started looking. I was like, oh, I should probably sit down. Like,
yeah, I don't know what the difference is.
Like you said, I think it's like good fan bases.
But
like,
I get the two title games. I wonder. I bet you Eagle fans stand up the whole time. I don't know about Saints.
I bet Saints fans stand up the whole time.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I feel like...
They've got nothing better to do. Who else are they going to root for besides...
LSU.
Well, yeah, but like no professional teams. Do not say the Pelicans.
They stand up the whole game for Anthony Davis.
Who's out for two to four weeks with a sprained finger.
Soft.
S-A-W-F-T. Soft.
So yeah, who do you like in the Super Bowl? I think we are.
I like the underdogs,
Patriots.
The Patriots.
Those scrappy bunch.
Yep. I mean, hey, they're plus one. I'd bet the house.
They're not plus one anymore.
Well, when
that
they
line
open,
has slid all the way to minus -3.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know what they were doing opening Rams.
I have
favorites.
No
That's
idea.
Asinine.
Like. I'm sure so many people hopped on the Patriots.
Absolutely.
And they're like, wait a second.
Yeah,
what are we
doing? Whoa there. Brady has more Super Bowl appearances than everyone combined on the Rams roster.
Well, you saw Brady has more Super Bowl appearances than like 8 other teams.
Yeah, more than us.
No, combined.
Combining 8 teams together.
Yeah, it was like Saints, Jags, Lions.
Well, that's not fair. Detroit hasn't been to one. Brady has. You're right.
There's like eight or nine teams that have combined for like eight Super Bowl appearances, and Brady's got nine.
It's ridiculous.
I'm very glad that like I'm my age and able to watch Brady. Because, you know, you always hear about all these all-time greats. And, you know, like, I should probably appreciate LeBron James more. Like, I should have appreciated Derek Jeter more. I mean, I'm just...
Jeter. Laughable.
Fucking... Or Mariano Rivera. There you go.
Yeah, that's a
lie. There we go. First unanimous Hall of Famer.
Was he?
Yep.
I saw a chart where it was... One graph was his home runs per nine innings or whatever. And then the other way was... Strikeouts per nine against how many home runs you gave up per nine. And there's a little dot way in the corner. Mariano Rivera all by himself. Oh, like really? Nobody. Everyone else is bunched in the middle. Like, because usually the faster you throw, you end up giving up a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
No, not him.
Because he had that cutter. He threw his cutter like 94. Yeah.
So yeah, he's
high and tight, low and away.
Yeah.
Does it, if you're a righty, low and away, lefty, high and tight.
That dude was good.
Very good. But
are you sick? Like, a lot of people are sick of the Patriots.
I am not sick of the Patriots. Honestly, the more at probably at 3 and 4, I was sick of the Patriots. But then we got to 5, 6.
Now it's seven, like impressive.
Now, exactly. Like now I'm impressed. I find myself rooting for Tom Brady lately because I want to see more. It's like how good is
how long can this continue?
Exactly.
I think the thing
I want to see Brady play till he's 50. I want to see him with, you know, 14 Super Bowl appearances. I want to see him with, you know, two hands full, you know.
Yeah, get to two hands full of
rings. Yeah.
I think the thing why I don't care as much is because he's an AFC. Like, if we were just getting – if the same fucking team's coming to NFC every year, I'd be really annoyed. But, like, all right. And I appreciate it. Like, they're just really good. Like, it's – Belichick is a really like he's the best coach in the league. Brady, the best quarterback in the league. So like, it's impressive to see what they do. Like I'm gonna root for them. I know most people outside of Boston are rooting for the Rams. I'm rooting for the Patriots.
I'm rooting for the Patriots too. And like I enjoy Barstool Sports and I really like the president. Dude. Yeah, because he's big Patriots fan. Man. And Lane Johnson last year, like he ripped on the Patriots, and he's like, you know, they don't have fun, this and that. And after the game and whatnot, Lane Johnson was talking about Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, like on Twitter and whatnot. And
well, there was that whole article.
Yeah, and Dave Portnoy was like, "You having fun yet?"
That's solid.
Yeah, it's like we're going to the Super Bowl again, and you're at home bitching about Big Dick Nick and Carson Wentz, you know.
Dick Nick. Yeah, I just...
I like the Patriots. Like
I got nothing against the Rams.
And
it'll be a fine... I hope it's a good game more than I hope the Patriots win. Like, I hope it's a good game then if I got to pick one. I feel like it's going to be one of those games where I'm rooting for the losing team to catch up every play. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
That's what it was, Chiefs-Patriots. Like, please score, Mahomes. Score. I want to go to overtime here. Like,
yep.
I want more.
I'm sure if the Rams-Saints game was flip-flopped and it was 13-0... Right away, you know, Rams over Saints. It's like, come on, Saints, like, show me some life.
Yeah, like, give me something here. Part of me the whole Sean McVay thing, great coach and everything, but come on. Like, people hiring, like, his third string coaches and shit, like, acting like he's, like, the greatest thing since sliced bread. And it's a little annoying.
They just want a piece of him.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind him losing, you know. I don't know. He's got a guy who pulls him back onto the field.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
I want that job. I don't want that job. I want to hire somebody to be that.
To keep you from running on the field. Like, McVay can't handle the emotion of the game. He's got to run on the field. Like, you ask your lineman not to jump off sides. Would you get your ass over the line? Like, what other coach has that?
None.
He's just so fiery. Like, it's all just seems
well,
so
you know, and
dumb.
It's not just to keep him from running on the field. It's so the ref doesn't run into him.
Get
you know,
out of the way.
Hey, man, he's so into the game. How can you memorize a game when you're not, you know, 3 feet closer than everyone else?
To be fair, that guy's also the strength coach. The guy that pulls him back.
Oh, okay.
So he's not just the get behind the line, but, guy, like, but that's what he does during a game. He's literally following him with his hands on his hips. It's I lost a little respect for Sean McVay there. Like Bill Belichick, you need that dude doesn't even call any of the plays.
Bill Belichick is silent the entire time.
Yeah, he just how does he do it? Like why do more like why doesn't Zimmer go not that he should. I'm just like it's interesting more coaches don't go like Bill Belichick lets his coordinators both call the plays. And he kind of just, like...
takes it all in.
Like, yeah. It's like when they were playing the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. And everyone was like, why is he not calling a timeout? What is he doing? Because they ended up throwing the pick to Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
But, like, afterwards, he just said, I was looking at their sideline, and it just looked like confusion. And I didn't... because everyone was going to call timeout, so when Marshawn Lynch plunges in the end zone, Brady's at least got some time.
No.
And he didn't. He's like, nah, I'm going to make him run a play here. Because, like, they seem... out of sorts.
Discombobulated.
Yeah, and they throw a pick, and it's like, I don't know if that was dumb luck, but...
It's, you know, I never heard that little anecdote before, but it's smart. Belichick's been there before, and he's going, these guys have no idea what's going on. 40 seconds goes by super fast, you know, in, like, real time.
Maybe they're rushing their play call or something. I don't know, but, like, it's just... it's interesting to see that, like, so many guys want to call plays. They want to be the next Sean McVay and stuff. And there's the best guy at it. I know Belichick sometimes does when he doesn't have a coordinator, but like he's basically lets Josh McDaniels do everything. This year was Brian Flores took over for Patricia.
Well,
and his teams are always good. How are they always good? Maybe play calling isn't the be all end all, you know?
Yeah, Belichick's.
That's why I like the Patriots. I don't. They have these. Like, one year they got Corey Dillon and they're running, you know,
power
run. The next year they've got Randy Moss and Wes Welker and they're doing bombs every play. All of a sudden they've got Aaron Hernandez, murderer, and Gronk, and they're running this new two tight end thing, the new wave of the future. No one does it anymore, but they did it for a year, and it was like they just morph and change however they need to, and it's I think it's cool.
The entire NFL is moving to a spread offense, and they draft Sony Michel and a big left tackle,
and they run the ball down the Chiefs' throat for two quarters.
Yeah,
I was told that passing was always better. It's like, maybe it depends on your opponent.
No, it does. Really?
No, just pass it.
Always pass it.
Always pass.
If you can, throw 90% of the time on third downs.
You know what?
It'll probably work. 90% of the time means it'll work every time.
DeFilippo's like, so Fournette, can you run routes?
When it was at Air Facade, it was just like, it's weird to see the Jaguars giving up on Fournette already.
Yeah, yeah. What is funny, like, everyone talks about passing is like more efficient and better to do, but like, Patriots run the ball well. Saints run the ball well. Rams run the ball well. Chiefs run the ball well. Yeah. Damian Williams kind of fell off there at the end. But it's just like, I feel like it's all about keeping the defense off balance. Like, maybe that is passing every play. If it's a team that's not good at just stopping the pass, they're going to be all sorts of...
or if they're expecting the run. Like, if you're a run-heavy team...
But if you're just going to run the ball every play and be like, well, it's more efficient, the defense is going to do what the Patriots do to us and just sit and cloud coverages and just laugh.
It's all about keeping the defense off balance. It's play action on first down
instead of a run on first down. What Zimmer said, people turned into like, Zimmer's old school and just wants to run the ball every play. No. Zimmer just wants to run the ball when they think you're going to pass the ball. Or like, at least
he wants
keep some consistency. You know, you don't just call six runs a game. Like, they're just going to know you're passing. So like you said, he'd be fine with play action on first down if it works. Like
he wants balance. And like, I'm going back to like the Fangio quote where it's not, you know, whether it's 50-50 run and pass, it's just balance within the passing. You know, the quick passes, the play actions, the shots, where with the run game, it's, you know, inside, outside, tosses, misdirections.
They don't know where always going to go. Well, and like Dee Ford, Justin Houston, how do you slow them down? Well, when you pass, you chip them, you throw quick. But run the ball, keep running it down their throat, and eventually it's like, okay, we can't just be going for the quarterback. They're running, so they have to stay...
They have to stay
more,
at home.
Like, yeah, they got to be more conservative in their pass rush. They can't just be flying up the field.
Yeah, because when they're flying up the field, how many times did you see it? Was that in the first half? You had Devlin out there all on their fullback.
Yeah.
Catching passes for first downs on second and third downs. Like,
they're basically like, stop. We're like, grinning.
They ran a wheel row with some dude who runs like a 5.4 40.
And then when we play like Khalil Mack, we pass 50 times. It's like, dude, that dude's just going to destroy eat your lunch. You can't be doing that. So, I don't know. We always end up on the topic of that. But should we take a break and then we'll jump into Viking defense talk?
Yep. Sounds good. All right, we're back from break. Gonna jump into a little breakdown of the Vikings defense.
Yeah, last week we did offense. This week we'll hit the D, kind of review, and then talk about what we want to see at the position in the offseason type thing. So we'll start with the D ends.
And like we did last week, we'll do grades again too.
We'll throw a random grade at the end. It's always good fun. Ryan overrates everything.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah. B plus.
Yeah, I thought the offensive tackles were basically top tackles in the league. Yeah, they're like Diggs and Thielen at their position.
Well, but justifiably, I just really like Brian O'Neill.
Yeah, he was such a nice addition.
We're just gonna overgrade him.
Yeah. So first one, Daniel Hunter. Is that a 5-year deal? Probably our best defensive player.
And probably the best deal in football.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the best. I don't know if there's other ones out there, but like his deals.
Not counting quarterbacks on the rookie contract.
Not counting any rookie contracts. Yeah, you know,
true.
Like, for someone that signed an extension, that's a
half of what Khalil Mack got, same production. If not, and in my opinion.
I feel like it's kind of teetered out, though. I feel like he started up super
high. Yeah, but then Khalil Mack also started super hot and kind of taper off. Yeah. Like, he had, like, 5 strip sacks in 8 games, and I don't think he had any in the second half.
I'd like to see a little more.
I'm not saying I was disappointed. If we're getting greedy, sure, I'd like to see a little more. But 14 and a half sacks?
Yeah. Most of those were Stafford. Guy just stands there. Daniel Hunter, obviously great. Fantastic.
Yep.
He'll be here. Next, okay, Everson Griffin.
Had the issues early on.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think played particularly like Griffin.
No, he was not like... He played at that level where it's kind of looking at the point like... looking for a potential replacement.
He's got 4 years under contract still, but there's no more guaranteed money. Or like a little tiny bit, I think. I think he's like at 11 million, something cap. But it saves you 10.7 million if you were to cut him. I think I personally would prefer to just restructure that.
Fact.
Because I'm not ready to say... I think this year is more of an aberration. He was going through problems. I think once he gets that more straightened out, goes in fresh next year... He was a beast last year. Like, he was our pass rusher. It was he like, tormented Hunter looks really good. Like, maybe he'll be something. Like, Hunter's real solid, but, like, it was Everson Griffin. And he's not super old or anything. He's still, I think, 30.
Yeah. I mean, he turns 31 next year, but.
And he's so strong.
And he's got a good motor to him, you know? He always gives it.
So, I don't want to just cut him and then it's like, oh yeah, just plug Weatherly in there and it's like problem solved. Okay, what if Hunter gets hurt? What if Weatherly gets hurt? Now you're down to, you know, to Sean Bauer or someone else. I don't want to just lose depth to get cap space. What are you going to do with that cap space? What's the plan to replace him?
Is it worth
when I think he would easily restructure? And that's not, hey, we're going to give you less money. That's one of those, we're going to give you more, we're going to turn your $10 million salary into 5 base. And we're going to give you 5 as a signing bonus so it spreads out over the next few years. So you're raising his cap down the road a tiny bit to get it off this year's cap.
Yeah,
so,
to improve the roster now, which we do a lot.
We have a 2-year window. We don't usually do a lot of restructuring because we never had cap problems before. But with Kirk Cousins, you kind of got you're up against it. But we have a 2-year window here. Kirk Cousins is here for 2 more seasons. And then it's like, then we can figure out
everything
other else. Stuff. But I don't think you want to be cutting Everson Griffin, a difference maker when he's right, just to get some cap space that who knows what you're going to do with it. So I'm all for just restructure. That would be my thing, is restructure him.
Yep.
And I think you agree.
Definitely. I don't just want to lose Griffin outright.
I'd be pretty surprised if they cut him outright. I've seen some articles like, oh, they saved $10 million, but I think I'd be pretty surprised if they cut him outright.
If they cut him outright, it's...
Would it
work? It's all for the best interest and... You know what?
If they cut him out right,
it's because Zimmer sees something that he knows. Like,
I think if they cut him out right, I think Zimmer, it would be hard for Zimmer, but it'd be a thing where it's like, we just need more money for the O-line. Or I really think Weatherly can take his spot and we can add a replacement for Anthony Barr. Something where it's like, and unless there is more to the his personal life that like they know that it's just like this isn't gonna ever get back to where it was type thing. It's like, let's just cut bait now.
Yeah.
Maybe that would happen. Like, would I be like super pissed if they cut him and then they need to use that money then. They need to then do something with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we can't
like,
just
all
go...
of a sudden if we ended with like going on the season with 12 million cap space, it's like I would have rather had Griffin.
Yeah. So let's get down to 2 million and have Griffin on the roster.
And I just see a bounce back year. I feel like it was an off season and he could easily bounce back. So next, Weatherly, he's got one more year left.
Like him.
He'll just let him play that out. He'll be around. He's rotate in. Injuries, he'll have to step in. If we do cut Griffin, then he's a starter. But awesome. Ade Aruna. Nah, whatever.
He was the
I think he was one of our last picks.
Yeah.
I think he's just kind of an athletic body.
Yeah, he's like opening. 6'7", super raw.
Yeah.
From like New Zealand or something. Mm-hmm.
Tayshaun Bauer, I skipped past him. He's always shown well, like preseason, but he seemed like he was the guy they were going to rotate in before Weatherly, and then he got banged up, and then Weatherly played so well that it was like, oh, wait, never mind, Bauer. You're more of a reserve.
Yeah.
So I still think Bauer could be something.
I like
I always
Bauer.
Like those UDFAs, the undrafted guys that make the team. Because it's like, we didn't just keep you because you're a draft pick. We kept you over draft picks. We kept you over guys that are more established because
guys
they see
signed,
something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's almost more likely. Like, I have more confidence that Bauer will be something than Ade Aruna. Ade Aruna has shown nothing, even though he was a draft pick. By Bauer making the roster, it's like, okay, you showed a little something. And he had a good preseason 1 year, so.
Yep.
Hercules Matahafa or whatever, he got hurt this year. Tore his, was it a pec?
I think it was his pec.
And he was a beast in college, but super nowhere. Like, where do you put him? He's a small linebacker, small. Like, he's just a weird fit. But I know Pro Football Focus graded him, like, really high, and he always made plays, but.
Really?
He doesn't really fit anywhere. Like, he's kind of positionless.
Yeah.
So.
Kind of
like
John one of
those, Randall
like,
was small. Like, yeah, give it a shot. Who knows?
Yeah. So. And you got small linebackers out there, like Tevin Smith.
Yeah, and I think they tried him at linebacker in the preseason a little bit, and then they moved him right back to D-line. So
okay.
I think he's a D-lineman at this point. Well, I have him as D-N, so I don't know what website had him as D-N. But
all right.
I thought he was more of a D-T.
I thought so. I and maybe that's why they're like, oh, he's too small to be a D-T. But
yeah,
that's...
we'll stick him over here. Whatever. Now, moving on to D-Ts. First one.
Let's
grade those. What were you saying?
I was just going to say, are we going to grade the D-line or grade D-ends?
Let's grade the D-ends. I think we
grade
did
D-ends. I want to go B.
I was just going to say B, too. Yeah.
No. I
our D-ends
wanted...
were way better than offensive tackles. Though.
Yeah.
So you suck at this. I wouldn't say way better. I don't know.
They were way better than our tackles.
Yeah, way better than
I just,
our tackles.
Let's just put it this way. I didn't know what I was doing last week.
Okay, yeah. B, like they're...
Like...
Griffin's whole thing really brings the grade down.
And
Weatherly helps it come back up a little.
And Hunter tapering off at the end keeps it.
From like
keeps
a B+, yeah. Like, going in, it's like, you're thinking, okay, we have Griffin and Hunter. Like, we should be kind of like Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. We should be like those teams that have those two studs. And I just don't think it ever got there.
No.
Which was mostly Griffin's fault.
Yes, this year it was. Like, last year we used Hunter differently.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't think he was quite like Hunter made a jump this year.
Yeah.
And I think we all expected that jump. Last year it was sort of like he wasn't quite ready there. He was very good, but he wasn't, I don't know, he wasn't like.
Well, he was still learning to contain the run, where now he got smarter and he knows he got that like play recognition. Like,
yeah,
he kind of realized what's
great
a run, what's
this year. And they were talking about he had to develop an inside move and he clearly did that. So.
But like last year. Had Hunter had this year last year, you
then,
would have been
yeah.
able to see it like all come together.
Yeah, because
like
had a great
they're
year.
All, like and the year before last year, Hunter had a really good
rookie season was really good,
and like Griffin had a good year, but he didn't have last
Griffin had a pretty
good year,
but Hunter's rookie season he wasn't. It took him till like I think week 5 or 6 when they finally were giving him a ton of snaps, and he still rotated his Robeson. Like,
yep.
So it hasn't came together where it's that dominant edge rushers coming off his, and I'm hoping. It could be next year, but...
Hopefully.
I think we agree B. With that talent, I feel like you got to do better than that.
Yeah, I mean...
That's
you're
not
B-level
talent.
You got Everson Griffin and Daniel Hunter.
You're starting at A-level talent, and then you have Weatherly rotating. That you got to do better. It brings it, I think we talked last week how like most of our players disappointed this year, either like met expectations or were worse than them and didn't exceed, like barely anyone exceeded.
Yeah, we had like four.
Yeah, we maybe like four guys.
Yeah.
So,
Did I ever do Matt Weil on my exceeding expectations?
You didn't. Because we were talking about guys that actually mattered. Well, like,
punters are people too.
Well, kickers are no ones, but punters are people. Okay, Ryan, okay. Let's move to DT. We'll talk about the big free agent, Sheldon Richardson. What do you think?
He made a splash right away, immediately.
Oh, he was like, that 49er game, it was like, this is going to be sweet. Like, yep. Him and Hunter that game were ridiculous.
I've been meaning to go rewatch that game.
I rewatched like, just that because I was doing a Kirk Cousins thing. But, like, yeah, that D-line that game was, like, what we wanted the whole season.
Yeah. It's so disappointing we didn't get it because...
Richardson, I feel like, was solid.
He was an upgrade over Tom Johnson.
Well, like, it was, yeah, it was, like, putting things back to how they should be. Tom Johnson should be a third down rusher, a guy who comes in and spells for depth.
Which he did...
Very great.
Very
he's
good
in the role
again.
He should be. He's yep. great at it. Sheldon Richardson as a starter, I felt like he was like not even as good as Sharif Floyd.
No. You know, I feel like you put Sheldon Richardson in that Tom Johnson role.
You're out of your fucking mind.
No.
He's not a backup.
I'm just saying like, you know, just playing just the pass rushing now. Like,
yeah, but
you're not gonna pay Sheldon Richardson $7 million to play 12 snaps a game.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm saying. But like,
there's not enough good DTs. He will get a starting job to play all three downs.
And that's just. But I'm saying like Sheldon Richardson.
Ideally,
like,
sure.
Yeah, like crazy. I mean,
you're wrong. You're just wrong, and that's the facts. Sheldon Richardson's a three down DT. Yeah, I'd also like Danielle Hunter to just play passing downs too, Ryan.
Well, I wouldn't because he's great at stopping.
I'll get
the run.
A different guy who's really good at stopping the run, and I'll make him a two down guy.
Danielle Hunter is really good at stopping.
Yeah,
the
but
run.
Sheldon Richardson's good at it too. Like, you're acting like we had some like two down guy that are just like getting washed out every play.
That's a fact.
He's a three down DT that I thought wasn't elite. He wasn't a game changer. He was for 1 week, but what do you want to do there? Because again. If you let him go, I don't think having Tom Johnson be the guy, and I think Tom Johnson's also a free agent, you're down to...
Johnson is a free agent.
Yeah.
Because we picked him up midseason.
Right, and signed him a one-year deal. Yeah. So, do you go draft? It's very deep at 3-10.
I've been saying, yeah, I like the draft. I mean, the worst part is you draft a guy for him. I mean, technically speaking... To make an immediate impact, you got to take him round one or round two.
Absolutely. If you're taking a DT in round three, you might as well start Jalen Holmes.
Yes.
Or Julio Johnson shed some weight and slides over. Like, I'm not trusting our third round picks to come in and be starters.
Yeah.
And the thing I worry too with DT is like, it feels like a position that is harder to make an impact as a rookie rather than like, maybe.
Yes, unless you're an elite. Maybe not elite talent, but a very talented player like Sheldon Rankins.
Who are the DTs this year that got taken?
Vita Vey.
He had a good season.
Mo Hurst was a fifth round pick, but everyone talked about him being a first round talent.
And then he had
it was just
injury,
the heart.
He played,
and it
he
was the heart issue.
Oh
so,
yeah, that's what it was the heart
so,
issue.
So like
yeah.
he, you know, he showed
because maybe that's just like something I think, and it's not true. For some reason in my mind, I think DT. So, Darren Payne, great. Daron Payne, great for the Redskins.
Yep.
Taven Bryan didn't get to play much. It kind of a weak draft last year for DTs.
I think that's...
BJ Hill for the Giants, he was a run stuffer.
I think that's kind of what it was going in, though.
But the two, Vita Vey and Daron Payne, both instant starters.
Yeah.
The year before was... God, another weak year for DTs. What's the deal? They're all coming up this year. That's the problem. Malik McDowell. Oh, man. He looked like a beast.
And now you got...
That's the only one that was taken in the first round was Malik McDowell. Otherwise, they're all DNs. Like Jonathan Allen's types that are like 3-4 ends. Or,
yeah. But like Jonathan Allen, he played D-tackle in the 4-3 for Alabama. So.
And then the year before, Sheldon Rankins, like you said. And then Kenny Clark, Packers. Chris Jones, Chiefs. Took a little bit to come on. Okay, so I'm coming around more to the DT3 tech being drafted and making an impact right away. But free agency, Ndamukong Suh, do you try to spend a little? Grady Jarrett, beast.
Potentially, we talked about this a little bit, potentially Gerald McCoy.
Potentially Gerald McCoy. Potentially Marcel, what's his name? Marcel Darius.
Darius.
Yep. Potentially Malik Jackson. Jaguars are 13 over the cap right now. And they have to make some moves. So a lot of people are talking about those guys maybe getting cut. And the one thing about the cuts is they don't affect your compensation pick. Mm-hmm. So if you go pick up a Gerald McCoy who was cut and you lose Sheldon Richardson,
you lose that pick.
Gain a pick now. Instead of it canceling out, yeah. You gain
McCoy yeah. and the
And I would say I would think McCoy, Sue, Malik Jackson and Marcel Darius are all upgrades over Sheldon Richardson. I wouldn't say
Darius more of like a run stuffing nose kind of guy.
I was looking at their pro football focus grades. Where do I have? I had them pulled up here. And the problem is Sheldon Richardson wasn't that great at pass rushing. Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, Darius is definitely more of a run stuffer. Sue and Sheldon had the same pass rush grade.
Okay, but Sue is more kind of like.
Sue had a way better run defense.
And, well, Sue's kind of playing like a 3-4 DN, yeah, which isn't really... Yeah, he's out of position.
He's letting Aaron Donald... Well, not letting him. Aaron Donald is the best 3-tech in the league. So, sorry, Sue, you don't get to play that. You're playing more nose or... And he's playing a ton of DN.
He's standing up?
Yeah, standing up. So if you put him back into his old role, could be a monster. Yeah. Grady Jarrett, though, is...
He's off the
chart. Way better than any of these guys. Yeah, at least according to Pro Football Focus.
He's like the cream of the crop.
He's 25. He's going to be 26 going into next year. Like, you're going to have to probably pay him $14-15 million a year.
I would.
So maybe you can't swing that. But if you wanted to get crazy, that'd be the guy. Otherwise, the rest are very. Sue, Darius. Darius doesn't really fit as well, like you said, but Sue and McCoy are upgrades. And then Malik Jackson, at least according to last year, was actually worse than Sheldon Richardson.
I would buy it. Buy that.
But
Malik Jackson was really good in Denver.
Really good with Denver. And probably really good last year because Jags were so much better last year. I'm sure he was part of that. But I'm not attached to Sheldon Richardson as much as I was early on. But I'd like to see... I don't want us to go into the season with Tom Johnson. So like, as long as we replace him with either a rookie in the first or second round... Or one of these cuts or free agents, I'm fine with it. Or if we bring him back, I'm totally fine with us bringing him back too. I'd run him back again.
Do you prefer to draft a guy in the first or second round or roll him back?
See, but.
No.
It's not a fair question because it's like, did we sign a lineman? Like, it's like musical chairs. Like, I need us to get a lineman. What happened with Anthony Barr? Maybe I want to draft a linebacker in the first round. Like, it's hard to say. Yeah. Now, let's say in a vacuum, when we're just talking D-line, and let's say none of the other positions exist.
Yeah.
I'd rather take a guy in the first round, 100%. Okay. But maybe I'd rather bring Richardson back and draft a lineman in the first round.
Let's
but
just go in a vacuum.
Pretending we're building a team, and I want the best D-line possible, I'd rather draft a guy in the first round.
You'd rather bank on the potential of the unknown rather than what you've seen last year.
I think what I saw last year was fine. I'd like to do better than that.
And in the first round...
I would say it was good. I won't say fine. He was good. He was a good player.
In the first round, like...
You could get a game changer.
Thinking-wise, like, you know, a top 20 draft pick, you're probably getting the third or fourth.
It's a stacked draft at DT, so like, we might get the third or fourth best guy. And maybe the fifth. I think there's like two.
And that could be potentially in the last draft or two, the second or third guy.
Could have been the best, you know, like who knows.
Yeah.
It's not like there's a bunch of run stuffers either. These are all
the three technique, like what you pass want. Rushers can stop the run, but they're more get after the quarterback, get nasty.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I also wonder if, because I'm kind of doing this, a lot of based on like Pro Football Focus, because it's like kind of the easiest way to, with like, unless I'm going to sit and watch every single play, how are you going to grade them? You know what I mean? So it's like, but I sort of feel like maybe Zimmer's D doesn't lend itself to anyone grading really well in their sort of the way they grade, just because it's not, you're not letting people freelance as much. It's very like, hold your gap, structured. So like, because none of our guys grade all that great, so it's... But they're good. our defense overall is very good. So there's something disconnect there. So I worry that you take a Grady Jarrett, you plug him into our off defense, and his grades go down. But
and that's why Zimmer is so like my kind of players.
Yeah, you know, it's got to be some. Like, it's got to be people with the right mentality that they're not stat going for stats. They got to be like, this is a team defense. Like, because as a team, our defense is really good. But like,
you get an injury or two or three or four, like we did this year.
Yeah,
and you see what happens.
Yeah, it can start to fall apart. So, the home run there would be Grady Jarrett. I like the draft pick idea, but I'm totally cool for Rich Anderson back.
Yep.
I thought he was.
I think
I want to see more.
I think I go. I'm probably with you. Draft pick, Sheldon Richardson. Grady Jarrett. But free agency. If you told me I was getting Grady Jarrett, and not
what if
Sheldon
I told
Richardson?
You were getting Sue? I would take Sue. He's 4 years older, but his run defense was.
Is it a 1 or 2 year deal, or is it?
I'm thinking this is more of a 1 year.
If it's 1 year,
let's pretend it's 1 year.
1 year, I'm taking Sue. 1 year, I'm taking Sue.
Would you take Gerald McCoy or Richardson?
McCoy.
I would take McCoy.
He's also 5 years over. I would take McCoy 4 years over Richardson. One, I think. Maybe not four. Maybe
it's,
three.
It's a little scary because those guys are a little more up there in age.
But McCoy and Sue were same draft.
Yep.
Two and five picks.
I thought they were
six.
Like 2 and 3 or something. I thought they were.
2 and 3, yes.
Yeah.
No, you are right.
Would a quarterback go one?
Yes. Matt Ryan.
No, he wasn't on the first round overall pick.
No, that's right. He was third overall.
They took that.
Jake Long.
Jake Long, yeah. What draft is that?
2011.
Gerald McCoy
draft.
I'm just gonna type wiki and then go to it. But yeah, I think I would take McCoy. He seems like a team player. Seems like,
well, you play for the Bucks all those years, you kind of develop into a team player.
2009 draft.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah, Percy Harvin. Wow. So Stafford went. That's not right. Oh, he decided to stay in school. This is his wiki. So.
Oh, okay.
He was a top prospect for the 2009 draft.
So it must have been 2010.
Sam Bradford.
Sammy B.
Sammy Bradford. Then it was
Slinging Sammy Bradford.
Then it was Sue. Then it was McCoy.
Okay.
Yeah, who'd the
Vikings keep going.
After that, it was Trent Williams.
Okay.
Eric Berry.
Right on.
Russell Okun. Joe Hayden. All Pro Bowlers so far besides Bradford. Rolando McCain. Whoops. CJ Spiller.
Oh.
Tyson Alualu. That's the one you don't want. That's the DT you don't want to take right there.
Yes.
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis.
Offensive tackle for the 49ers.
He retired.
Yeah, he retired. So, yeah.
Oh, boy.
That
was fun. That was. Thanks for that. Stroll down memory lane. Yeah.
So I feel like I'd feel super excited if it was Grady Jarrett, and I would be totally okay if it's any of those other guys. I kind of prefer a new guy just because I shot Sheldon Richardson and he was pretty good, but not like.
Yeah, I
want to see more 49er type game. That's, I mean, if you could be more of an impact player,
I'm
nice.
Sorry that I want like 7 to 10 sacks out of my 3 tech. You know, I'm sorry I want some splash out of, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I just.
So
I miss Kevin Williams.
Yeah, he made more plays. I mean, it
was fun to watch. It was fun to watch. It's fun to watch. A disruptive interior.
I do think if Sharif Floyd didn't get hurt, he would be better than Sheldon Richardson is right now. Oh,
yes.
So
Sharif Floyd was very good. I don't think he was appreciated as much as he should have been, just because like I think it was just that final
he
year
was
where
hurt
he finally
a lot too.
Yeah, that's but that final year like he kind of started showing.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he was gone. But that's a bummer. Richardson did stay healthy, barely injured, never. So I don't know. Tom Johnson's the next one, free agent. Well, actually, Linval Joseph is the next one.
Yep.
4 more years under contract. If you cut him, you would save $7 million.
I'm keeping him.
Yeah. You can't be creating holes in your lineup. We're here to win right now. We're not here to rebuild. Maybe if we were a 2-14 team, you'd be like, all right, sorry, Linval. We're looking for youth. But he'll be fine. He's fine. I don't think he's as stout as Pat Williams. I feel like he's really good last year. Again, I feel like everyone did slightly worse this year.
He had a down year this year.
Yeah.
He had that really good play against the Eagles.
Yeah, but that's not his normal shot. Stumbling,
rumbling, yeah. And Madden gave him like an 81 speed or something like that. Yeah, that was cool.
That. I love that. But yeah, Limbaugh will be here. I would say lock him in. Yep. We didn't say our locks. Didn't we have a lock thing we did last week?
Yeah, we did. Let's finish the D-line and go through.
Okay. First. Tom Johnson, free agent. I'd love to bring him back. Vet minimum.
Yep. Same thing we did this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think we offered him that. He went to Seattle, and then they caught him, and it was like, all right, vet minimum, come on back. Yep. So, like, I'd love to bring him. He's a great rotational guy. And if his play falls off, then maybe one of the younger guys pass him, and okay, you're just a bench player, whatever, you know?
Yep.
Jalen Holmes, drafted last year, didn't really show much.
Didn't show much, but he's playing a new position.
Yeah, he was. Wasn't he a guy who either had a shed weight or add weight? Was he adding weight?
Yeah, he was adding weight. Adding weight. Because he moved from DN to kind D
of a,
tackle.
A little bit of a project. Wasn't he taken in the third round? Or was it fourth?
Fourth.
It's fourth. So, okay. Yeah, so hopefully we see little improvement there. Like,
yep. And
which makes sense. Like you said, he was putting on weight.
He was moving position. Yeah, he was adding weight. And, you know, maybe we do, like, do a one-year deal. Maybe again with Shelton or something. Thinking, all right. Jalen Holmes is showing what we need to, but he still needs another year to add more weight.
That's part of the thing. We don't know a lot about the backups because we don't get to see him play, but like good example is Jaron Kearse. We're like, yeah, he's a special teamer. Well, Zimmer clearly saw a little more.
Third year.
Maybe they do see like a Jalen Holmes. Like, okay, this guy, maybe not next year, but another year, he'll be something. So like, let's just buy
he
time.
Played. I mean, Holmes played. He didn't make a splash or whatnot, but...
He did rotate in there a little bit, not a ton, but a little bit.
So obviously they wanted to get him the experience. It's like, all right, he's a smart player. He knows his job. Mm-hmm. He might not make the splash play, but
he's a good spell.
Yeah,
Jahleel Johnson drafted 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah,
comes in. I think he's pretty much settled in at nose tackle at this point. For a while there, I think they were bouncing him back and forth.
Yeah, but I think
with Jalen Holmes and Tom Johnson and Sheldon being there, he basically was just the backup to Limbaugh.
Yep.
And he rotated in there some. He was, I feel like I just thought he would be better. And maybe next year's the year. Because wasn't he, was a fourth round pick also.
Yep, out of Iowa.
Yep, I'd like that not to be a wasted fourth round pick. So I hope he has a good steps up. And he always looked really good in preseason, run stopping at least.
You know, yeah, I always liked Jahleel Johnson.
Yeah, something about it, I liked him, so I'm hoping he does good. Afedi Abimbago, how do you say it?
Agbenigbo,
good job. There you go. He left our team to join the Browns, then went to another team, and now he's back with us.
Yep.
I don't know.
Sure.
He always looks good in the preseason.
Yep.
I think that's why he got claimed, but yeah, he'll be around. He's back. And then some random Curtis Cawthorn. I have no idea who that is. DTs, grade them.
DTs, I'm going to go B minus.
I'm going to go B minus as well, actually.
I almost said C plus, but...
I think there it's, were... Again, B minus is like, you were fine. There's no Danielle Hunter in that group. So like,
The only reason why I wanted, was thinking C plus is just because expectation-wise. Yeah. It's a little biased.
Let's throw the whole D-line together. Like, B minus? And expectation-wise, it's like disappointing. I just feel
expectation-wise, I would say B minus, but as a whole, didn't we do pretty good stopping the run?
Yeah, I guess B.
Weren't we top half in the league in sacks again this year?
We were a good defense. We were a very good defense. So it's hard to say they were.
So B overall defensive line.
There's just so much more. It seems like that could
be. And that's why I would say final grade B minus, just because we know our players.
Yeah, they're better than this. I mean, you got just so much talent right there. So, locks, DNs, I would say Hunter, Weatherly, Bauer. Bauer can't be a lock. I'm going to say Hunter Weatherly. You think Griffin's a lock?
No. Yeah. I was going to stop you on Bauer.
Okay, yeah. I think that's one that he probably will, but you could see him drop.
Do I think Griffin's going to play somewhere else next year? No.
But he ain't a lock. You can't lock.
No, yeah, but
there's too many question marks.
$10.5 million.
Yeah. Personal life might be, maybe he decides to hang it up. Who the heck knows? You know, like, you don't know with him.
Yeah.
But you do know Hunter will be here, and you know Weatherly will be here.
Yep, facts.
So, and DTs, Linval's going to be here, I think. I think it's a lock, even though you could save some money by cutting him. They're not cutting him. And then Jalen Holmes is a lock.
I would
say Jahleel Johnson's a lock. Ah! It's his third year. You could cut a fourth round pick after 3 years. I think he's shown enough, though, that I would lock him in.
I
would be pretty shocked if he didn't make the team.
You know, I have a tough time saying Jahlil Johnson won't be here because, like, you depth-wise, the way we're at, you got to teach a new guy.
Yeah, you would need, like, multiple DTs to join the team and take and to push him off the roster. And I just...
I'm throwing Johnson, Holmes, Lindell. Joseph, the 3Js.
The 3Js. Bring them on. So that's 5D line that we think are locks.
Yeah. Bring. You're bringing half your D line back.
Yeah.
I feel like
and we're... And you might be bringing more.
And, yeah, I was just going to say, honestly, I feel like that's low. Yeah. So five D linemen.
All right, let's go to linebackers. We have Eric Kendricks, got his extension in the last offseason, 5 more years. He'll be here. Pretty solid.
Yeah.
Solid. Another solid player in our defense. Like, they're all, like, pretty good.
Sucks he got hurt this year.
Yeah, he's banged up. Let's get to the more interesting linebacker.
Well, yeah. I mean, Anthony Barr.
Anthony Barr.
We got contract.
He's contract's up. What would you prefer we do with him?
Well, I prefer we extend him at a reasonable deal, but thinking realistically,
say it's $15 million. Feels good, or 12 or 13. What's the going rate for an outside linebacker? I feel like he's
the going rate for a 4-3 outside linebacker is like $7.5 million per year.
What do you mean? Not for top ones. What did Jamie Collins get?
I think he gets like $7.5-8 million per year.
You say things that are wrong, Ryan. People can hear you.
Didn't Jamie Collins sign like what? Well, I guess he signed what, 4 5 years, $50 million, so $10 million per year.
Well, that's Kendricks' contract. Jamie Collins makes $12,500,000 a year, $12.5 million.
What was his contract?
Total value $50 million, but I think it's only a 4-year deal. Let me click on him. Telvin Smith makes $11 million. Vontaze Burfict makes $11 million. Levante David makes $10
million. Really? I thought Burfict only made like $7.5-8 million.
Yeah, his was only a 4-year deal. 4-year, $50 million contract. So $12.5 million.
So Barr, is like...
We'll get 13 to 14. 12 to 14. He could get around Jamie Collins' money.
I mean, what is the tag on that?
15. I think it's 14 to 15, somewhere in there. The linebacker market's not as strong as the DT market was. You got like KJ Wright, Thomas Davis, the old man, and CJ Mosley. Not really an outside linebacker, though. You'd have to, like, maybe flip. Kendricks was drafted as an outside, and then we moved into an inside. So, like, you could do some stuff where you flip him around. But if you look at Pro Football Focus's grades, like, KJ Wright's Anthony Barr. Thomas Davis graded better than Anthony Barr. Like, I just don't know if it's worth paying Anthony Barr $13, $12 million a year. Like, I don't know if it's...
See, I was like, before you told me the tag price, my initial reaction is
maybe
tag him. Like, if he's gonna ask for $13-14 million a year, you tag him.
I'd love to tag and trade him, like they did with Jarvis Landry.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's possible because I think teams would be like, they won't keep him on the tag. Because the thing was, Miami, I think, had more cap space where it was a little more believable. Like, but it's believable that we'd be willing to just sit on him for a year. Make him play under the tag.
So, well, like, yeah, no, it's believable, but at the same time, fuck, I don't know.
It's difficult. Like, I don't think he's worth that with the way he plays. Like, he's good. Again, he's good.
He's not Levante David good.
No, he's not. He's not Bobby Wagner good. He's just good. I would rather let Richardson and Barr both walk and pour that money into O-line or on replacement for Linval, or not for Linval, for Sheldon. And
I really, really want to see the O-line market, the interior line market.
It's
like,
not great. It's Matt Paradis, or however you pronounce it, from Paradise. The Broncos. Roger Saffold, older but played well. That Glowinkowski from the Colts, which is kind of a up-and-coming guy who finally, like, played where Mitch Morse, center for the Chiefs. That's Roman Foster. Like, it's not, there is no Kelechi Osemele. There is no
so Kevin Zeitlin. Honestly, at that point, I'm thinking you re-sign Barr and Richardson and you draft linemen. Because besides Glowinski, maybe Morris.
I think
I'd go Saffold depending on what it is, but like I'd take my chances with linemen in the draft, and I'd roll back Richardson or Sue McCoy. Well,
here's where I got bad news for you. Jermaine Wiggins right there, quality ball player. But bad news, the draft is weak as shit in interior O-line as well. It's all tackles in the front. So, like, are you going to draft a tackle? You can't. You got to draft a guard or a center. Now, maybe you do get one. I just don't want it would suck to end up having to reach because you didn't. You're not going to sign a free agent lineman? Like, damn, that's pretty bold. I think if you can get Mitch Morse, Paradis, Glonkowski, or Roger Saffold, you're definitely upgrading. I mean, according to Pro Football Focus.
So you take Morse or Paradise?
I take Paradise. But you're going to have to move Elflein. What are you doing with Elflein? You're going to have to move him to guard.
Okay. And are you comfortable with that?
Sure. He played a little guard in college.
Yep. Some people believed he was more suited for guard rather than center
going. And maybe he's got to beat someone out for that job. I don't know. I'm not sold that Elflein's a 10-year starter in this league. I mean, I think he's probably going to be a starter for a while, but maybe not. I think the thing that I... When I look at the way the draft and free agency sets up, you can, like, the linebacker, there's Devin White and then Devin Bush. Devin White of LSU and Devin Bush of Michigan. If one of those two fell to you, that would be fun.
Yeah, the Devin White, like, I'm all in on that. I see
making it to 18. He's not making it to 18.
If he somehow makes it to 18...
Yeah, you're going to regret signing Barr because he could have had Devin White.
No, and you take Devin White and you figure out a way to make that work.
Because then that Devin Bush, he's in Michigan, also a sideline to sideline, you know. And then there's one from Alabama too. I forget what his name is, but they're also pretty good. Now, like...
Thompson's a safety.
No, it was Mitch something or something. Mac something. I don't know, whatever it was, but... Like, the question you asked me, would you rather bring back Charles Richardson or draft a guy in the first or second round? Say it's first round. Would you rather draft a line? Pretend other positions don't exist. Would you rather draft a first round linebacker or re-sign Anthony Barr?
Is the first round linebacker Devin White?
No.
Is it Bush?
There's only three, I think, that are going to go. It's a first round linebacker. Don't even put a name on it. You took him at 18, so you think he's good.
So... Am I getting...
We didn't put names on the DTs.
I know, but like I don't really know the DTs. I just know for a fact.
Just know if Zimmer takes a linebacker at 18 overall, he thinks he's pretty good.
It's a fact. Keeping Anthony Barr because he took Anthony Barr in the top 10. So, you know, he's...
Yeah, well, I've seen Anthony Barr 5 years. He's like just kind of good. Which is... That's a good point, though. He saw something in with that... Oh, it's just...
You know what? I'm sticking to that. I'm taking Anthony Barr over something I haven't seen at 18.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'd prefer the new linebacker.
I don't blame you, but...
But I can't do that at every position. Like, would I rather draft a lineman or sign...
Well, okay. How about here we go. In a vacuum, sign or draft Sheldon Richardson's replacement in the first round... Or draft Barr's replacement in the first round?
I would rather draft Barr's replacement because I think you can replace Richardson easier in free agency.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah, but I think you could draft Richardson's replacement easier, actually. Okay. But if you're telling me I get a linebacker... No.
Keep Sheldon, draft Barr's replacement. Keep Barr, draft Sheldon's replacement.
Okay, that's an interesting question. So I can't use free agency?
No.
Oh, you've tied my hands behind my back here. I'm keeping Barr.
Yep. Same. Yep.
So basically, if I had to choose Barr Richardson, I'm back to Barr.
Yeah,
it
is
because it has gone back. It was like, I remember, like, it was like still like June or whatever, and I was like, Richardson over Barr, hot take. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh wait, no, everyone now by week one wanted Richardson over Barr. Yeah. And then it swung back to Barr, and I think at this point it stayed Barr.
I think
Richardson didn't seem special.
I honestly think that's what it comes down to is, are we drafting Barr or Sheldon's replacement in the first few rounds? Yeah. I think that's what it comes down to, because I don't think we're going to get Sue, McCoy, Jarrett, either three of them.
I think it's far more likely we would just re-sign Richardson than sign any of those guys, especially a Jarrett or a Sue. I could see McCoy maybe. He kind of isn't.
I can see McCoy if he gets cut and he's going, I've gotten paid before. Like, team-friendly deal with a chance to win.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, I guess what you're worried is that some team with a bunch of cap space shows up and it's like, here, McCoy. We're like, that didn't happen for Richardson last year.
The Rams gave Sue like $12.5 million or whatever.
Yeah, so as long as you're avoiding some team showing up overpaying him. You know, the problem is what could happen is we got to draft a lineman in the first round and then you're replacing one of your linebackers with like Eric Wilson or something, which would be scary. So let's jump back to linebackers. Where is that sheet? Hold on, people. Hang on. All right, we have... let's talk about Eric Wilson. Under contract. I'm hoping he comes back. I mean, he should be because he's under contract. Ben Gideon. Two-down guy. Kind of has a role. Not very good.
One-down guy.
Yeah, one-down guy. He sucks. He was cute in all the year one when he kind of plugged in there for Greenway for the first year. It's like, you're not very good.
But he's not. I'd rather have Greenway still be out there.
He's good if they run the ball. Problem is, if he's out there...
If they run the ball straight at him, none of this misdirection shit. Yeah,
he's really good when he's really good is when they just run the complete opposite direction because then he's not involved in the play.
Yeah, if he's just... You're right. When he's taking up a blocker, that's really good. Let somebody else be disruptive.
Someone else do it. Devontae Downs, drafted last year. He'll be around. Kentrell Brothers, suspended to start the season.
Yep.
Seems like mostly a special teams
guy.
And then Rashard Cleet.
Okay.
Random. All those guys are under contract. All those guys could easily be replaced besides.
Where's Brett Taylor?
Brett Taylor is, he's.
Packing groceries at Cooper's.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Cooper's grocery store. He's a bag boy. He's doing great. He'll be back. He's been training. Linebackers, grade.
B minus, but I'm being generous. I'm going to go C plus because we had some injuries there. You know, Wilson had some flashes, but he also had some bad. Sucked.
You know, I think I'm going to go B minus.
Terrible.
I'm going to go B minus, actually, yeah. And Barr had some bad games. Kendricks had some bad games. They're good. But...
I'm going C plus. I didn't know we were doing this whole grade thing last week, so it was all like... You know,
you were a little off, shooting out, high grades.
I was shooting blanks last week.
You were fired up.
So, last 9 days, I knew what we were doing, and I was like, and I had been thinking about it. I sitting there gluing pipe, going off.
Well, so, but what you're thinking is that linebackers are a C+, but the offensive tackles were a B+, is what you're.
No. Can we regrade offenses now?
Yeah,
let's just go through the whole thing because for some reason B+ Brian O'Neill is going to be held all over my head for the entire offseason. This isn't fair. Like, I don't know why I have to sit here and defend myself over a mistake. It was a mistake. Year. It was a mistake. Okay, I gave Brian O'Neill, Riley Reiff, Rashad Hill a B+, and I fucked up. I fucked up.
Yeah,
all right.
That's bad. That's bad. All right, we got we're at hour 20, so let's roll through the corners.
Oof.
It's a good looking group.
Oh.
On paper, woo, beautiful. All right, Rhodes, 4 years. Let's start with Trey Waynes first. Let's start with Trey Waynes.
No,
because I got to look at Rhodes' contract. Okay. I want to look at it. Trey Waynes, his 1 year, it's $9 million. I think he's our best corner. You've been saying it.
Join the club, man. Trey Waynes is our best cornerback.
A lot of people throwing him to trades.
I think it's cute.
Like, I think it's stupid.
I think it's a good conversation starter.
Yeah, it's a good blog post.
Yeah, you know, people are bored. Like, oh, you know, Wayne's could be on his way out. You know, his contract's up. Should we, you know, trade him, get something for him? It's like, no, what you do is you see what you can get for the man across from him.
Okay, we'll get to that. I think that's also stupid. But trading Wayne's is an easy way to create $9 million also, which a lot of people, when they're doing their little, like, you know, off-season plans, which me and you will try to do a little off-season plan coming up, but, like, people want to sign offensive linemen and stuff, and it's really hard to do when you don't have cap space. So trading Wayne's and getting an additional pick, it makes it so much easier than to be grabbing people. But my thing is, you want to trade Trey Wayne's? Okay, now you got Rhodes and Holton Hill. What if Rhodes gets hurt? What if Holton Hill gets hurt? What are you doing? You putting Mike Hughes out there now? I mean, I guess. Like that. I just, like, why do I want to trade good players?
See, that's the thing. I don't. I say trade Xavier Rhodes, and, like, I was talking to somebody earlier this week, and I called him trash. It's like, I don't mean those things, but, like, if you're making me choose between Trey Wayne's and Xavier Rhodes, like, Wayne's can cover, and Wayne's can tackle. Rhodes can do. And he can stay healthy for the most part.
Rhodes is way more injury prone than Wayne's. But Wayne's does get hurt too, which, again, why you don't trade corners. But Wayne's doesn't have to play the number one receiver. Helpful. But if I had to pick one of them going forward, I would take Wayne's. Like, if I'm just building a team and they're saying, here's your corner. Like, I know most people are going to be like, dude, no, Rhodes is the guy who locks down the number one. But, like, this year he didn't do it.
No, and, like,
I'm starting to talk myself out of it. Like, Rhodes is good.
You do what you want to do, but when we've seen Rhodes get hurt and Wayne's had attack, you know, Galladay this year earlier, he shut Galladay down, I believe.
Well, we had to pull Rhodes out of games because he was struggling, and then Holton Hill came in and did good. Like,
Holton Hill's going against the number two, and you got Trey Wayne's locking down number one, and they're throwing at Holton Hill.
Yeah.
Like,
Wayne's is good.
People. Wayne's is very good. Wayne's
versus
good.
Marcus Peters, remember that?
Yeah, I remember how upset I was when we drafted Wayne's over Peters.
Yeah, who would you rather have now? Peters are getting roasted constantly.
Wayne's is their best cornerback that I've thought for the last 2 years. So what
would you like to do with Wayne's? Extend him.
Absolutely.
Extend him.
Absolutely. I'd pay the man. Like, I don't know if you can, but, like,
I think there's ways to do
it. I know a lot of people would be very upset if we gave Rhodes Wayne's a 5-year, $60 million deal.
I don't even know if he would take that much. I feel like you're going to get him on a bargain like Hunter because he doesn't have the hype behind him.
I agree. But, like, if that's what it came down to, 5 for $60 for Wayne's, it sucks because he's your number two corner on this roster.
That means nothing to me, though. You need two corners. Dude's the number one corner.
And you know what? You're right. It doesn't matter because both your starting cornerbacks are on the field at the same time.
They better be.
They're both technically number one corners.
They're very important. So,
and don't we play sides more often than we play guys anymore?
Rhodes follows quite a bit. I think it was less this year.
I think it was more sides this year. I think Zimmer entrusted Wayne's a little bit more this year. Yeah, let's talk Rhodes.
Yeah. Are you going all the way outside? Oh, right outside the door. Okay, yeah. Rhodes, like, he was banged up, so I feel like he had a slightly worse year. I'm hoping the injury is why he had a slightly worse year. Like, if he gets back healthy and gets back to Rhodes, I don't want to see him go anywhere. And also, if you do trade him, you are left with $7 million of dead money. You gain $6 million. I don't think that's worth it at all.
No, that isn't.
I mean, yeah, you gain
it.
A little money, but you trade a really good player again. Like, I'm trying to win games here. I'm not trying to accumulate draft picks.
No, I'm not trying to reconstruct our roster.
Especially, like, they have to learn the Zimmer defense. Like, I'm thinking Rhodes and Wayne's are coming back. Let's bring them back.
Nope.
I'm all for it.
Oh, yeah. I think all five.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to the next one. Let's talk Mac. That dude improved a ton.
Oh, yeah.
You had him not even making the roster.
Cut. C-U-T.
And he started off kind of
slow. Q without the E.
Yeah, and now he looks like he is going to be battling Mike Hughes for a nickel job next year because he played really well. He's got a one year left on his contract. I think he's probably the one that's not going to get re-signed.
Yeah.
Unless you get him for, like, peanuts. But I think he's going to be like, hey, I'm a nickelback. Those are kind of needed in this league. I'm going to go out there and get a decent contract.
I can You're see him, I can see him be a Patriots kind of guy. Can tackle, can cover, do it all kind of guy.
Defenses need that nickelback in this, the way the NFL is. So, but yeah, he's huge down the stretch there. Like, he was much better than...
Wasn't he one of the highest graded quarterbacks? Yeah, did he finish number 9 via Pro Football Focus?
I didn't see, but I know his ending was, like, really good. It was, like, after the Patriots game, he was...
Wasn't it, like, after Patriots game, like, an 83?
Yeah. It was
Pro Football Focus, yeah.
Their grades, like, if you're in the 80s, you're a good player. So, next one, Mike Hughes, rookie. We didn't get to see much.
What I saw, I really liked.
Yeah, what we saw, we liked. What we heard, we liked. Like, all training camp, that he's just a beast.
Yep.
And then, he'll be back. He's got plenty more years. Holton Hill, the surprise.
Undrafted free
agent. Again, undrafted guy that makes the team. Usually means a lot.
People had him as, like, a top 50 talent.
Yeah, he had some stuff that I'm not really even sure what it was. Off-field stuff, but...
Off-field stuff.
Yeah.
I think failed drug tests.
Probably what it was. He's the reason... What are you looking at? You think someone's at the door?
No. Are you scared? I feel a draft.
I'm wondering if
I didn't close the door tight enough.
Oh, well, why don't you go over there and push the door closed? Okay. Instead of staring at it the whole time. Holton Hill is the reason people want to trade Trey Waynes. You didn't shut the door all the way. Idiot. If Holton Hill didn't exist, people would not be trying to trade Trey Waynes right now.
True.
Holton Hill showed up and it was like, oh, we got an extra corner. But I really like this depth. I also want to see his dime defense.
Yeah.
Dime. Let's go. Rhodes on the outside. Waynes on the outside. Hughes and Mack, both slot corners. Holton, you're on the bench. Your depth. You rotate in.
Oh.
Let's go dime on some people. Eric Kendricks in the middle because Barr's not playing. He's gone. You know, he walked.
Yeah.
I think it's like, if you have two good nickelbacks like we should have, I think there's some stuff you can do that could be
the thing with the, like, playing dime is not a lot of people run 4 wide receiver sets, so you're kind of expecting Hughes or Mack to cover a tight end which doesn't always make sense.
I'm thinking more when you play a team like
the Patriots or
no, really, like the Chiefs when they're going to come at you with a bunch of different wideouts. I mean, there's teams that would work against. It gives you like another.
You're just saying I want to see this dime back.
You play John DeFilippo, you bust out the dime defense. Yeah. You play the Eagles, you bust out the dime defense. Like it ain't gonna do it against the Eagles, Bears. Though. Oh, they got the tight ends. Yeah, they'll maul your ass. Yeah, my bad. We don't want that. Let's put Harrison Smith on them. They have good tight ends. But yeah, after Holton Hill, Marcus Sherrill's free agent. Bring him back. Best puncher ever. I tried to cut him last year. I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, that was silly of you. Unless Chad Beebe.
Chad Beebe. Did we do locks for linebacker?
No.
I got...
Let's do corners.
Oh, okay.
We can't be jumping back and forth. The viewers are going to get confused.
The viewers aren't here. They're called listeners. Craig James, Jalen Myrick. Those are the two last corners.
Jalen Myrick, former Gopher.
Yeah, former Gopher. I think this is our best position group of anywhere on the roster.
Yeah.
The top-end talent is ridiculous.
Yeah, just...
The depth all the way through. Like, receivers got the great top-end talent. There's not a lot of depth. Your fifth guy is Holton Hill, who we saw could hold his own.
He's a could,
which is why people try to trade people out of this.
Yeah, and like he's, do you call him a starter in this league?
I think he could start on teams. Yeah. So you have
you
have three corners that are worthy to start on the outside, and two that can start on nickel. And I think Mike Hughes could probably play on the outside too.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't see a ton of it, but it seems like he could. Grade this group last year.
B+.
Yeah, I'm between B+ and A-. I mean, the strength of our defense was...
The Rhodes thing brings it down.
No, I'm going A-. We had held quarterbacks to nothing for week after week after week.
That's
after
a
week.
Good point. There was one point. There was one point where did we hold six straight quarterbacks
to like,
or under 250? Yeah, or it under was a 200 long streak. Yards.
And it's like, yeah, Rhodes got banged up. Yeah, and then Holton Hill came in and played great. You know, Wayne's had a concussion one game, and then someone came in and played great. Like, I think they play. It's the strength of our defense is our pass defense. So like,
yeah, A minus.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna go A minus there. They're just. That's a good group.
You know what? They were definitely better than our tackles. Yeah. I'm definitely going A minus.
They were, and they're and
I, you know, compared to our tackles, they're an A plus plus.
Yeah, they're two pluses. Linebackers.
Linebackers B minus.
Oh wait, we graded them. We didn't lock them in.
We didn't lock them in.
Yeah, I would lock in Kendricks.
Wait, were we B minus or did I change?
I don't know what you fucking did. I'm not even gonna Eric Kendricks. Eric Wilson, locks. That's all I got. I think the other possible one is Ben Gideon.
I was going to say the other possible one would be Brothers, but special
he
teams.
He could easily lose his job. Like, any special teamer, I feel like some other random special teamer
could
show up.
Yeah, but I feel like if he was just some random special teamer, we'd have cut him instead of...
No, because you always need random special teamers. I just mean like some other guy who plays good special teams. You want to lock in Kentrell Brothers. You wouldn't die in that? You want to die in
I
that?
Do not
you want Kentrell Brothers
hill.
Locked in.
No, because if, you know,
because
Mac
he
was
doesn't
locked
have,
in as a cut.
Yeah, no. Kentrell you know. Brothers doesn't have a, doesn't, hasn't shown anything besides special teams. Like, I just feel like that's such a, you're on such shaky ground. Because, like, you could find random.
Did he count against our 53?
Not he for did. The first few games. He did afterwards, though.
Yeah,
he brought him back, so that's they waited.
But when he came, yeah, but like
people probably
our
injured,
final
yeah.
cuts and shit yeah. like that.
It didn't.
It's not like we left with 52.
But we also didn't cut him like we did Caleb Jones, who like got into trouble.
Yeah,
and we just cut his ass. So it's, I mean, there's something they like him enough. He's a good special teamer. I'm just not locking in any special teamers.
Fair.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cornerbacks, who are you locking in?
Five
of them. Yeah. Cheryl's is the fringe one. I'm not locking him in.
Yeah.
He's a free agent. You can't lock him in.
No.
Yeah, the only
and
way
I just
I feel
don't
like
see
any of those...
I don't see us trading Wayne's cutting. Well, obviously not cutting.
You think
Wayne's
that Mike Zimmer's trading a corner after he drafted another one in the first round? He ain't trading no corners. Who did?
No, I can see I can see him trading one for the right price. I can't see him. I guess there's no argument of cutting any of these guys. Can't see him trading one.
No, I can't see him trading one. Unless you'd have to get a lot. You'd have to get like a first round pick for Wayne's plus. Like people are like talking about trading him for like a second. It's like I don't really what why.
Yeah, I saw somebody was like a second in like a guard or something like that from some team. Like,
yeah, I don't
know. No, because
I think you're getting too cute at that point. It's very fantasy football esque. Like, oh, I've got an extra receiver. I'm going to trade him for a tight end, and I don't like. People get hurt too much in the NFL to be doing that. Like, what if in training camp Rhodes blows his ACL out?
No.
At least you have Wayans. If you didn't have that, you'd have Holton Hill and Mike Hughes on the outside with zero depth behind it. Like,
and both are in the second year of the in the league. So
yeah, we don't even know if Hughes can play the outside. Holton Hill is a huge step down from, you know, someone like Rhodes or Wayans. And then you have nothing behind them.
Let's not trade a cornerback.
Let's not mess with the corner depth.
Can you guys all stop talking about trading a cornerback, please?
Tomorrow morning, Wayne's is gone. let's go to safeties. Harrison Smith, 3-year deal. I thought he was slightly disappointing. After last year, he was very good.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's not. We're not saying he was bad, but he disappointed us because he wasn't at that all-pro level.
He wasn't at the all-pro level. That's exactly it. Like, game number one against the 49ers, all-pro level. Pick to seal it. Like, he didn't make a lot of splash plays. He had a few here and there, but like, I want to see.
I know this is like, might come off stupid because he's a Hall of Famer, but like, Harrison Smith isn't on like that Ed Reed kind of like,
no,
year
yeah,
in and year out.
Like, consistently. Well, and I feel like he was. And
yeah.
Then last year was kind of like, and I feel like maybe early on they let him freelance a little too much. And then they're like, you know what? That isn't working. Let's go back to what we do. Like, it seemed like he didn't make a lot of plays. That is, it's just what it is. Like, he didn't have as many splash plays. He wasn't bad. He wasn't.
No,
he was good.
Really good.
Yeah.
Again, like, on par, like, his run D, on par, his blitzing and everything. But, like, making plays in the pass game.
Getting turnovers and stuff, it wasn't there. And I mean, it was really just passes. It was just a down year compared to last year. Because last year he was a beast. Like, he was all over the place making plays. And so, who knows why that happened. But I'd like to see him bounce back. Anderson Dejo. Let's skip him and go to Anthony Harris because he's actually the starter. Anthony Harris, he's a restricted free agent tender. First, you can do it with the... So, you got to pick one or just let him walk.
Yep.
If you tender him at an original level, it's $2 million. And if someone signs him and you let him go, you get nothing. So you'd have to match the contract.
Okay.
Otherwise, you could protect him at a second-round level. It's $3.1 million. Or a first-round level, $4.4 million. I think we talked about the second-rounder makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
It's $1 million more, but at least you're going to scare off every team.
And you know what? The saying this... Thinking we're cutting Sandejo, saving cap, I'd go first round tender because I'd gladly pay Harris $4 million.
I just don't think it's necessary.
I think it's necessary? No. But
well, I'm not like, giving money away. I'm trying to build a roster here. You got it. I mean, that $1.5 million could come in handy.
That's right. What is it?
4.4 to 3.1, so 1.3.
3.1, second round pick.
No one will go for him. No one's giving up a second-round pick for Anthony Harris.
No, because they...
To pay him a contract.
Because all they're thinking is, okay, I can draft Anthony Harris in the second
Yeah, and pay him peanuts compared to what I would have to pay him. It's like when we tagged Thielen at a second-round level. It scared everyone off. No one's messing
3.1 million, yeah.
He probably deserves 4.4.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was...
Yeah, you're not going to do it just because it's... If you think a second-round pick scares everyone away, you don't need to do it first.
No. Would I pay Harris $4 million? Yes. Do we need to?
No.
It doesn't sound like it.
Hypothetically, you tag him at a second round level and someone does come around, offers him a market value deal. Do you match it?
Yes.
Can you match it? That would be the worry.
Are we doing this in a vacuum or?
I'm just saying, I match it too. I don't want the second. I want Anthony Harris. But what if you had spent your money and then someone came crawling around? There's got to be a deadline though, right? Like what if you re-signed Barr and then Shelverson left and you signed McCoy and you've only got $4 million of cap space. And then here comes some team, signs Anthony Harris in the first year they give him a ridiculous number. Like they front load it.
Yeah, kind of like the Burleson thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like if you're the Colts. Well, the Colts don't really need to say too, but like say...
Let's just use Colts.
Some team with
the
$100 million.
The Chiefs.
Yeah. If they have a ton of cap space. A team with $100 million cap space, $80 million plus, why not, let's say they send him to a four-year deal for $20 million, just front-load it $12 million. We can't match it. Now, we get a second-round pick, but now we have a hole at safety.
But do many good teams, with a late second-round pick, do they need a safety? Do they have a lot of cap? I don't see that happening.
That's the thing. You would end up with a late. Because like Raiders could love to grab him, but they're not going to give up an early second.
No.
Yeah.
That's what
I'm just saying. With the way our cap is structured, someone could try to burn us. Like if we spend all our money, and then they're like, "Oh, they can't match anymore. They're screwed."
I feel like there is a deadline. I don't know.
But wouldn't like if we did sign anyone that ate up our cap, that would be dumb by now.
Yeah.
Like say you tag Barr and sign one guy, you're capped out. So, I guess the thing is though, I think the second round pick scares everyone off. I just don't see. Unless it's someone in the back half that's got a lot of cap space for some odd reason.
Yeah.
Which the Colts, if they didn't need, I don't think they need a safety.
No.
So, but they have a ton of cap space and they're in the back half of the draft. So, I don't know.
Must be Roth.
And they abandoned luck. Next one, Anderson Dejo. He is 1 year left. You cut him, you get all your money back. There's no dead money. $5.5 million. I think everyone assumes he's cut. His job got taken by Harris. $5.5 million is way too much for a guy who would be mediocre best. I also saw today on Twitter, it's a void. It's not a cut, which means he does count towards us in the compensatory pick thing.
Why?
Which makes it even better. Because it's not, you're not cutting him. You're voiding. It's a void year. It's some weird way the contract is structured. So
okay, so there's language.
It's language in it where it's, you're not just outright cutting him. You're voiding the last year. So now if he signs somewhere, it does count towards us getting draft pick, which is even more incentive to cut or void his contract. You get cap space. He's a backup.
And if somebody wants them, you get compensated.
You would get compensated as long as you don't cancel.
Well, avoid the hell out of them.
Sorry, Zdeno. See you later. If you wanted to come back for vet minimum, sure, why not? Cut them and then renegotiate for the bare minimum. You know, George Iloka, free agent. I don't see him coming back.
In the words of Donald Trump, bye bye.
Yeah, what happened there? Weird. All right, J-Ron Kearse, 1 year.
Keep him. Love him. Big nickel. He's good player last year.
Special teamer. Actually played well in the defense. So, safeties as a whole. I'm going to say A-. Harris was a fucking beast. And Harrison Smith, yeah, he didn't play as good last year. He's damn good. Like, yeah. The secondary was where our team was good. If our D-line would have played up to D-line how it should have, I feel like we'd had a lot more turnovers.
Yeah, getting a little more.
Strip the ball, maybe. I don't know.
Pressure, a little 14 more pressure.
Sacks, you didn't strip the ball. You get
fucking Hunter coming off one side, him going around the other. Oh, smack right into Griffin.
Hurry, make him hurry a pass a little more. Like, yeah. I just think our secondary is ridiculously good. So I say A- for the safeties. What do you got?
I was going to go B+, but you made a great point, as usual.
So that's the D. Locks at safety, I would say Smith, Harris, Kearse.
Yeah.
Oh. And I know I said I wouldn't lock in special teamers, but I don't consider J-Ron Kearse
a special teamer anymore.
I learned my lesson last year.
Whatever happened to Ron Pitts?
Doesn't Ron Pitts do in the booth now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, unless that's a different Pitts. I thought there was a Pitts that does actual commentary. Right. Maybe he got upgraded.
I think you're right. Him. Sorry, still watching the Super Bowl.
14-3 New England's up on St. Louis.
Yep.
Another Belichick.
Halfway through the third.
Taking the fucking.
Which I did not realize that the Rams will come out of here and score.
Yeah, they make a little
17
comeback.
Unanswered or.
14 unanswered to go 17-14?
Yeah.
There must be more scoring. Whatever, they make a little run.
Yeah, because it was in the final 2017.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay, so
I kind of want to watch this game in whole, though, but, you know. I want to watch some old Super Bowls.
They're fun to watch. I like watching old playoff highlights. Just like, see, because it's like so much more intense that like this actually like was winner out. You know, like
I was watching the Larry Fitzgerald highlights from 09. Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's super cool.
So next we're at hour 45, so we'll wrap this up.
We did safeties.
That's
we
everything.
Don't do special. Okay,
we did special teams last week.
Yep.
I think.
Yeah, we did. Up there. We did.
Okay.
We did.
Yeah, that's the. That's
it
the defense.
It's a little longer than we wanted it to go.
Yeah, that's all right, though. It's been 9 days since we did a podcast.
I know.
Next week, we talked about doing our offseason plans, but I was thinking maybe we do, like, previewing, like, offensive free agents, then we do defensive free agents, then we talk, because there's still, like...
There's a lot of
we got a lot of time to fill here. Like, if we're going to do one every week...
And I feel like maybe the offseason plan will probably be a lot better.
If we're closer.
More flat, fresh, mid-end of February. Because what... March 9th or something like that?
Yeah, early March is the free agency start. So, and then after that, we can kind of talk, after free agency's over, then we'll start talking draft. We'll preview some of the positions for the draft, what we like you should do.
Yeah, we'll start going from, like, needs standpoint, go breaking it down, maybe throwing some kinks here and there.
I think we should do, like an off-season checklist, too, like, what we want to see done. Not really a plan, but, like, this is what they need to do. Maybe we'll throw that in next week, too. Just, like, like, I think one of them would be like, we already did. Get an offensive coordinator to fit Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Resign or replace Anthony Barr. Resign or replace Sheldon.
Yep.
Get a better offensive lineman.
Three tech.
Maybe add a new tight end. Like, things that we think we need to do. And then hopefully by the end of the offseason, we've checked them all off.
Yeah.
And we're a better team.
Yeah, we could. We'll each make a checklist, and however many checkpoints we have, maybe we'll go down to like, okay, we each have 7 of them.
Yeah, that's
it. And at the end of it.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of have what was in my mind, and I think it's like 6 things.
I'm sure we're going to end up with the same list, so it's going to just end up being...
Which will be perfect. Yeah. It's the Grapes and Gorak Viking team needs.
Yeah,
what are we going to do? Let's get better.
Oh, and we can check them off as we go on Twitter every time something happens.
Boom.
Boom. Checked.
You know what's funny is last year, if I had done that, it would have been like, replace Shermer with a good OC, and we all clearly thought DeFilippo was a fucking great hire.
Yep.
And then it would be get a good quarterback. Kirk Cousins.
Improve three tech.
And improve three tech. Sheldon Richardson. Like, what else?
And improve offensive lineman. It's like, oh, we drafted Brian O'Neill in the second round.
I think if you would have said improved offensive line, that would have been a fail, though. Because you lost Berger and you didn't replace him.
That's true.
And then I think the other fail would be, I think I would have said improved tight end. Maybe Conklin could have been like, oh, maybe. But fifth,
we were talking Burton last year.
Yeah, we thought we were going to add someone to help Rudolph. Because I think you can only count first and second round as like helping next year's team. I don't think it's fair to be like, Tyler Conklin is going to solve that problem. Yeah, that's a project. And,
I always see a lot of people on Twitter talk, first three rounds are kind of immediate impact.
I just don't see it with the Vikings lately. What third round pick is helping?
Danielle Hunter.
That took a year, though.
Yeah,
it was like six games. Okay, Danielle Hunter. Name another one, jerk. Come at me with your Danielle Hunter talk. Wasn't it Jalen Holmes last year?
He was a fourth.
So we didn't have a third round pick.
Did we lose that for Sam Bradford?
We lost two draft picks for Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
You're telling me this now?
Well, it was first and maybe a fourth. We lost two draft picks for Bradford.
That's not a third.
I'm thinking maybe third, fourth.
Ugh.
We did not have a third round pick last year.
I wanted to look up Minnesota Vikings draft history. Tommy Mason, first pick over. Ever.
Glenn Mason, huh? No. We're talking Gophers.
Holmes was the second pick in the fourth round. But he was a fourth rounder. I'll give it to you. Jaleel John, Pat Elflein. Okay, you're right. You plugged him right in.
Oh.
Okay, all right. This one, I think you win. No third round pick in 2016. No third round pick in. Wait, we said last year, no third round pick. So Pat Elflein, Danielle Hunter, Scott Crichton, and Jerick McKinnon.
Crichton sucked. I really like that pick.
Crichton's a big miss. Like that's a rare Spielman miss there.
And well, the thing with Crichton is, during that draft process, throughout the year, I would be looking at mock drafts, and
he was higher.
Scott Crichton, Oregon State, number 20 overall. You know, and then as the offseason got, you know, then he was got going, and then all of a sudden it was second round pick, and we got him like. Dude was, you know, potentially
he
a first round pick.
Fast. That dude didn't even hang around.
No.
Out of the league quickly. So, yeah, year before that, no third round pick. We traded up for the Patterson thing. Josh Robinson, no third round pick. God, Spielman, not a big fan of draft. No third round pick again. So, 2010, 2011, both no third round picks. What is Spielman's deal? Asher Allen. Oof. No third round pick, 2018.
Totally forgot about Asher Allen.
That dude sucked. So third round picks in the last, all the way back to 2000 and, let's go all the way to 2008. Nobody, 08. Asher Allen, that's one. Nobody in 2010. 2011, nobody. 2012, Josh Robinson. 2013, nobody. 2014, Crichton and McKinnon. 2015, Danielle Hunter. 2016, nobody. 2017, Pat Elflein. 2018, nobody.
Yeah. Four good players if you count Josh Robinson.
Oh, not counting Josh Robinson.
So I got 3-3.
But recently he's hit on Hunter and Elflein. Okay, so when we do ours, we will say what you can do up to three picks.
So from what I'm getting is what we want is our top three picks to be impact players.
If you're saying they're going to fill a need. Like, if it's already filled, then it gets filled. And then you can draft whatever in the third round. I'm just saying, when we do our little checklist, you can't say Tyler Conklin filled the athletic tight end need.
Yeah.
Because he's a fifth rounder. He ain't filling nothing, you know? And I'd actually say a third round tight end ain't filling nothing. That's a different type of position. You got to take one in the first or second. O-line in the third, I'll take
and
it.
And even tight ends, like, you know,
it can.
Joku wasn't good. I mean, he was a solid player, but he doesn't make that immediate impact.
There's been more recently, though. Evan Ingram's was good. But, like, yeah, you're right. It's rare.
Like, tight ends are just
which
tough
is why
to
if
call.
You want to say we need a tight end, I think it's got to be first or second. Or
and
it's got
to
be a free
then
agent.
You're not going to be able to expect it next year if you draft a tight end first or
not
second.
Not expect it, but I would count that as checking the box. You know what I mean? Like,
checks
if you
the
take
box,
Noah
yeah.
Fant in the first round, it checks the box of improved tight end.
Yeah, or is that McDowell? Their other?
Oh, that's the
Iowa's
guy.
Other?
Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's McDowell though. That dude's sweet. Like everyone's looking at Noah Fant on the other guy. I forgot his name. I watched his highlights yesterday.
And, you know,
he looks like George Kittle. Like I like that.
And actually, I saw somebody
Halverson or something like that. Know what it is?
Yeah. I'll take it. I actually saw somebody had him going in the, like, I think he cracked the top 10 in their mock draft.
Well, and, like, Kuiper has him higher than TJ Hockenson.
It was an H, yeah.
He's a better blocker than Fain, and, like, he just looks like, because if we're running that Shanahan-type offense, that tight end that's just running them wheel routes and stuff, like, I would love it.
Font is that move tight end.
Font is way more.
Halverson is that prototypical tight end, but he's
you can move not him.
Prototypical, but like
you can move him, but he can stay in line and block.
Yeah,
and run those routes where it's like you block and then release, or you
Font's more of an Ebron kind of tight end.
Put him up. He's basically a slot receiver, a big slot receiver. So, but yeah, we'll get we'll do that next week. We'll do a checklist and we'll preview like the offensive free agents or some shit. I don't know. We'll figure it out. It'll be good. It'll be fantastic.
You guys will be surprised. It'll be great.
It's going to be glorious. All right. You want to wrap it
up? Yeah, follow us on Twitter at Grapes and Gorak, Instagram, Facebook.
Just follow us. It's very simple. You know,
just follow us. You don't got an email. Just follow us. Subscribe to our podcast.
If you're a first-time listener, you know, hit that subscribe thing if it's on your, I don't know, what's it look like? I don't even have iTunes. Wouldn't know.
Yeah, you just hit subscribe.
Oh, cool.
And then,
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.